You can hit that. I don't care if you honk that. Go ahead.
Save it for later.
Go ahead. Save it for later.
I can't stop
tease everybody.
I can't stop looking at that. I keep thinking of X-Files.
That? Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that's their logo, but that was. No one knows what I'm talking about. Joel Radio. How you doing, everybody out there in podcast land? Joel Fragamenti here, Corey Hall.
Which is adjacent to McDonald's. Land.
It's pretty. It's in the neighborhood.
It's a lot of crossover between the two.
Podcast land. What a sad land that is. We're the mayor of Pod. I'm running for mayor. I want to say right now.
Hey, everybody. It's Drew and Mike. Ah! They're going to be in podcast
land. Are they
now.
In podcast?
No, I don't know. They got
you better appeal to that virgin crowd in podcast land. I feel like that's most of them.
What about Dawn?
Audience.
It's Dawn and Drew teamed up with Drew and Mike.
Well, Mark Maron is the president and CEO of podcast
land. Isn't podcast land like West Hollywood now? Isn't it all like
Adam Carolla
well,
is somehow.
It's like Largo and Meltdown. Like, that's where they do all those shows.
Well, L.A. is the center of entertainment.
Yeah, it is.
Not Ferndale, Michigan, but we're trying.
No.
We're trying to have a little
we started
foothold.
We started podcasting, like, I believe in 1973.
Right.
And we were like, we're going to change the world with our little CB radio that we're taking out to everybody. And then we didn't realize that we still didn't live where the entertainment happens.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
Okay. We're doing our thing.
You guys are really setting the ball rolling.
The bar was low. I'm not going to lie to you. And when we started podcasting, there was nobody like professional doing
people
it at
didn't
all.
Know what this was. Like it was
there was actually no pod when you started
Adam
podcasting.
Adam Curry was the only name, and he was a fucking VJ from MTV.
MTV washout from the
Let's
80s.
Introduce our guest, Joel.
Yeah, we should. Well, this is Lauren Uhalic here. Let's give a round of applause for Lauren, who's a comedian. And
thank
our friend,
you.
And what else do you do? You're in charge of roller derby in some kind of way?
Yeah, I do things.
You do. She does the roller derby
things.
In Detroit.
She runs the roller derby.
She runs it. She's the boss of the roller derbies.
The roller derby mafia, yes.
The queen of roller derbies, right here.
I don't know if I'm
Why
quite
didn't we
the queen.
Queue up? If we were professional, we'd have Jim Croce's roller derby queen.
It's fine.
I can get it. Hold on
go
a
ahead.
Second.
Here
you
it comes.
Don't, we don't need that.
Spotify
she's
it up.
Like, she's like, you know, you can knock.
Only heard that song 100 times.
If only more people would write songs about roller derby so that didn't have to be my theme song everywhere I
Is
went.
Is that it?
No,
okay.
It's
so she's had that. Someone's done that bit already.
All
so
right.
We won't.
No,
but,
it's fine.
But I want to welcome Lauren. She's. We've been asking you to be a guest on this show for how long?
Oh.
Ages.
Ages.
Years. Decades.
Scads of years.
So anyway. So it's good to have Lauren here, and she's going to tell us what's going on in her life and... all kinds of stuff. I don't know what's going on.
Things.
Discuss your
stuff.
Your pantry.
We just want a girl on the show. We don't really care what you talk about.
No, that's, hey, no.
Then that's part of it.
I've been told I have a good radio voice anyway, so I'm fine.
You do. It's very pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, part of it is that, you know, there's people that, like, want to... The people that want to come on this show the most, I think we want the least to have on. I think sometimes there's that thing where people who are really anxious to get on, we just go, like... Yeah, we're okay. We got that. But you have angles that me and Corey can't cover. See, we don't need more...
By angles, you mean a vagina.
Well, whatever. You do things that are
that
more...
That has angles.
That has angles.
You know what I mean? Corey and I have got the nerd, chubby comic thing covered.
Yeah.
We don't
need
those guys.
Right.
We got that.
That's
You're
fair.
Into all kinds of other stuff that's interesting.
That's true. I'm into a lot of things. And it was actually funny. I was just thinking when... I had somebody tell me on the phone today that I had a radio voice, and I remembered the first stand-up video I ever put on YouTube, which I've since removed because it was so bad.
Yeah.
I actually had a comedian that I'd never met that was from somewhere in Detroit comment on it and say, "Your jokes suck, but I would fuck you for your voice." Like, I would pay to hear you say, "I love black cock" in that voice.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's the wrong target audience. Oh. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that video.
You're saying that didn't work? You're saying you didn't jump all over
that? That was not quite the line that I was looking for.
That's how horny guys are. They'll jerk off to a voice. They'll really... We had... When Joel's old girlfriend used to come on the show...
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever posted a picture of her. Like, she'd come on
no,
the show.
No, I think she was like a school teacher, that
yeah,
one.
And we'd never...
And yeah, she didn't want to be
So no one
exposed.
Knew what she looked like. She didn't have a corresponding photo.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Bless you.
And like, guys would, like, write in and be like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, Kim sounds so..."
Yeah. Yeah, they were all into her, and it was
and
like, okay.
I'm like, I don't think you're matching the voice to the reality. Like,
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
so I'm dating this all.
They were just.
Beast.
But I'm just saying they were.
And she had a great
monster.
Voice.
No, but they were
like.
Got a
they
great
just
voice.
Had this like. They completely painted a mental image.
But you've
of
seen
her.
That when you've heard women on the radio. Or you've heard, like, you know, and then you see them, or you go in and you're a guest on their show.
And then you're like, why are you a hobbit?
Yeah, well, you just know.
Exactly.
Eh.
It's weird to see radio people live.
It is,
and
yeah.
I've seen most of them now.
Yeah.
And it's
like watching a fish walk.
It is disconcerting, yes.
It is like weird, but...
Yeah, no, guys would literally get fired up for Kim's voice, and we're
they were into her, and then, you know, hey...
Well, good for her.
Of all the various ways that men have commented about how they like to masturbate to you, how does the voice, I'm sure that, you know what I mean? It just happens.
It does.
Is that better or worse, the voice? Is that like an insult or a compliment? What do you think?
I mean, it's a nice thing. I mean, I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm also a fuckable voice.
Right, yeah, I don't
know. But you're saying this guy, like, at your job, you're calling people on the phone and they're saying that.
Yeah.
Like, you have this great voice.
Yeah.
And the guy on YouTube was more into your voice than...
He was more into my voice strictly for sexual pleasure reasons.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, that's,
I mean, for him to do what he wanted, and I thought it was ironic, because for him to do what he wanted, he wouldn't be able to hear my voice if his cock was jammed down my throat. Wouldn't.
Well, I mean, maybe that turned him on.
I have never had any jokes or bits where I have ever.
Maybe he wants to hear. Maybe he thinks your voice and his penis would make like a joyous noise together. A joyful sound.
Like a symphony.
Yeah.
You have such a great radio voice, Lauren. We're talking weather together on the 8th.
Right.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you.
That sound.
Well, I'll tell you, I've...
All right, we went there already, folks. All right.
It's okay.
Record time.
Well, listen, I didn't start it. I didn't start this. But I will tell you, I know I've also dated a traffic girl on the radio.
True.
I dated a classic...
Shell off.
I dated a classic rock DJ.
Yeah, don't worry.
It's gonna, believe me.
We're gonna hear, look, the name drops.
Yeah, well...
The lineage... The history
of
Joel's penis.
I dated,
you're going to hear it all today.
I dated a girl that Corey, you know, Corey knows, Corey doesn't never met this woman, but the girl that you've never met, the one that I kept you away from,
yes,
was a WMC weekend DJ.
Oh.
And,
wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you didn't even know that about her. But she, you know, she was quite the, you know what I mean? Like, that was the exhibit A in the, boy, you sound hot, and then you show up, and it's like,
well, you know what you're gonna do.
I thought the wolf, but you know, I mean, it's not maybe not what you expect. Guys expect things.
My point is just that men are extremely. No woman's ever going to be like, I jerked off to your voice. Although, there's that stupid Pillow Talk radio show.
Alan Allman,
where
that
women
was the guy
are all
for,
like,
you know, for all the years here in Detroit.
Oh, I mean, you're too young for this, but
yeah.
This was.
Do you know the show? Your mom might have listened to it or something.
Like, it's entirely possible she did. She wasn't jerking off while I was in the room, so it's not like I heard it, too.
This was a big thing in the 80s, and I think there were probably...
They had guys around the country. It was a format.
It was a
format. They would do, yeah.
And they'd be like, here's another one from Kenny Loggins.
Oh, saucy.
You're on Pillow Talk.
Yeah, it was like... And they play requests.
I'm Alan Allman.
Yeah.
And it just had a low...
Well, women would write in and want to hear certain songs... And then the guy
and they'd
would,
write in to have him say certain
and
things
he would,
to them.
He would sort of intro it in a very slow, deep, like sexy way.
The champagne is chilling on the dining room table as the sounds of Kenny G.
See, I was thinking he would be saying
you.
Like much you know. Saucier things like, I love the way you do the laundry.
He was
like really good things
like,
that like the women wanted to hear.
It wasn't perverted. It
well,
was like it was like
you know what? Actually, if a girl's doing the laundry, that is kind of hot for me.
Yeah.
It turns me on a little bit. I'm gonna.
It was more. He was like more being like an M. He was setting like the idea was you'd be with your man. I mean, in the vision of the show was it was like fish. You'd be with your man, and you'd have this Alan Allman show, and he'd be playing all these sexy songs. You'd be getting down. Now, most of the women were probably by themselves, and they were probably not with some guy. But in their mind, they would have this fantasy of this DJ is sort of talking
and,
to them.
And if you ever saw him,
did he look like Alan Alda or something?
No,
was that
his
like
name is Alan Allman.
Alan Allman. Yeah. He looked like Willard Scott.
Did he look like Willard Scott?
I don't remember seeing
Alan Allman.
It didn't work out. Let me tell you, the fantasy didn't jive.
My mom
with the
would
voice.
Make me listen to that, and I was like, "Well, this guy's a weirdo."
Oh, yeah. Like a lot of housewives would listen
and
to
that
show.
Like,
a lot of, like,
it doesn't sound like a regular dude. Like this doesn't. This guy's
not relatable at all.
Yeah, he's like this guy's some douchebag.
And then you know. I guess guys will call into you know like a phone sex line.
Sure,
and
I mean that is a thing.
That's a thing.
God. I've had people trying to get me for phone sex anytime they get me on the phone, too. But that's, I mean, sometimes those are irrelevant.
What do you mean, who tries to get you for, like...
That, like my clients at work.
Oh, in a professional manner.
In a professional manner.
They want you to hire you for phone sex.
Oh, yeah. Like earlier I was, when I was talking, a lot of my clients know that I play roller derby and the guy who called me and he says, hey, so how many of them are dykes? And I said, what kind of question is that? I don't know, maybe 20%. And then he goes,
you had an answer. Yeah, it's not like you didn't know.
We've actually figured that out as a league. Yeah, that's a separate tally we keep. We got pie charts.
You guys did the math.
You got a list.
There's a team that really prides itself on having the highest percentage.
I'm picturing you guys with a dry erase board.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, it was more like everybody was getting drunk at a bar and we've got a tally sheet.
Like you have,
oh, she's had sex with a girl? Count it.
You have three columns, I would think. You'd have the straights, the lesbians, and then there's a middle column.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like anything
else. They count over the other side.
You write everybody's names, and then you just draw a wrench next to the ones that just...
Gold star lesbians count for 2 points, though.
What's a gold star lesbian? A
lesbian who's never had sex with a man.
Oh, you mean a untouched...
well, they're not necessarily untouched.
Untouched by a man, though. That's, what do you call that? That's a,
it's a gold star lesbian. That's the name for it. I've heard that term before,
I call that a deep water clam. I think that's it's never been touched and harvested by the man.
Yeah, there's those. But, you know,
there's different shades of lesbian. There are various different shades, right? There's...
You know, that's the only shit. There's either not lesbian or lesbian, as far as I was concerned. But there's
your hardcore gold star lesbian. There's your diesel dyke. You know, the butch ones. You got your dabble dykes that, you know, occasionally, if it's available, opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah, I know some of those. We're talking about that the other day, about the people who, like, the diesel, or the girls who, they get drunk and they bang around with chicks, but how with dudes, they would never do that. Like, it's not like you'd go play baseball with a guy and then that night get wasted and say, I want to make out with a shortstop.
There's women who will date men. Like, they'll have relationships with men.
Yeah.
But they'll just bang women.
Yeah, I know a girl that's way into that. I know that's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's always got a boyfriend, and she's lusts for, like, she has a girlfriend that would fly in. Like, I knew this girlfriend would, like, fly in. It's like some old, like, friend of hers from high school or something.
Yeah.
And it was, like, on Hot Lesbian for the weekend. And then the girl would go, and she'd go right back to her boyfriend in the regular life. Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is men don't operate in this. Again, men, there's one category of gay men. I mean, then you have your twinks and your bears and your otters.
Well, you have closet cases. Right. You have the whole...
But that's all within that community. I'm saying there's lesbian things a little more vague.
Like, you two don't get drunk and make out.
No.
Of course.
Yeah, it's
but,
not gonna
you know,
happen.
There's always girls that are also, you know... They're lesbian for like a semester of college. There's those too.
Oh, yeah.
There's trauma lesbians.
Sure. Yeah.
There's the girls that are like they were abused at some point.
Right.
And they're taking a break from penis for a while and then they come back to it.
They come back, they realize. But some girls it's you know they never come back to trauma lesbians, some of them.
Some of them don't.
They're gone forever.
But I find that male homosexuality is a lot more defined sort of thing.
I think with women, I think it's more porous of a sort of divide.
I hear about bisexual men occasionally, and I don't buy it.
Right. Because you call a bisexual man a fag. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In the sense that once you're with guys, it doesn't really matter what you do with women. You're still gay.
Women can go. Right. They can dabble. They can go back and forth. Right. They can switch it with impunity.
They can also still donate blood. Once a dude has sex with a guy and then has sex with a girl, that girl can never donate blood again.
Oh, wow.
Facts to know.
When you donate blood, they ask you questions. Wait,
they literally ask you.
If you've had sex with a man.
That's one to grow. I'm trying to make the one to grow.
I'm a blood donor, and I hate that question being a thing because a lot of gay people are still upset about that because if you're a man who's ever had sex with another man, you cannot donate blood.
They just don't even risk it.
Because in the 80s, AIDS was so prevalent in the homosexual community that they were like, forget it. We're not taking any blood from any of them.
We're not even going to.
But now it's if a bi guy had sex with a man and then had sex with a woman, that woman would not be able to donate blood,
right?
Because she had sex with a man who ever had sex with another.
Did you ask you if you've ever had sex with a prostitute? Do they ask you that question?
Yeah,
I know that's another
that.
One.
They ask you that. They ask you if you've had any tattoos or piercings in the past year.
Oh, huh.
Because you can have
needles.
All kinds of tainted needles.
Sure. Yeah.
How much time you spent in Europe in the past 10 years?
Well, now, what does that have to do with anything?
Apparently, you could.
You could contract all kinds of things in Europe.
You could fall asleep and wake up, and some things have happened in Europe that you would have no
you've
idea.
Been to, you spent a lot of time in Europe, Corey.
I've been to Europe like three times in the last 10 years. Yeah. So
does it add up to 6 months total?
No.
Well, then you can donate
blood.
Don't you worry. You're just a slacker for not donating
now,
blood.
Do they mean Eastern Europe? Because that's jacked up. I mean, if
all of Europe.
Any Europe,
right? Eastern Europe isn't the gold star lesbian of Europe. It doesn't count for two.
Right, okay. I think Romania would probably count for two. I mean, if you spent a weekend in Romania, I think you'd probably count as
a gold star
lesbian of Europe.
Right, so
I thought that was Austria. That's a very lesbian country.
All right, I want to get into stuff because I have notes.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about things before the show, and I want to get into it. Should we get into this? Get into Lauren's
stuff.
Would
you let this guy donate blood? Okay, thanks.
I'm not the blood donor screener.
No, I'm just saying, we have there's a picture of a comedian we know, shirtless, with a cat.
Yeah.
That's on Facebook.
I would let him donate blood.
Would you let him donate blood? Would you?
I'd let him donate some stuff.
I don't know. That's kind of, I'm a little creeped out by that, frankly.
Woo! So
you're the one looking at shirtless men with cats.
I'm looking at Facebook, and then I got to look at this stuff.
Stop looking at that.
You're the worst.
Concentrate on the show.
I'm concentrating on the show.
All right, so Lauren, let's talk. But we talked about Derby. What's going on with Derby? I know they just wrapped up.
We just wrapped up. My team, unfortunately, got second place this year.
Oh,
but we were, we were in first place 2 years in a row.
Oh,
so
wow.
we got to let someone else win once in a while.
Yeah.
It was fun, though, because I knocked some bitches down. It was
great.
Did you
really?
At the after party, I had one girl's girlfriend come up to me and say, you know what? She's pissed at you. You would not stop hitting her. I was like, I was playing the game we both signed up for.
Yeah,
Sorry about it.
Are there fist fights ever in that Derby?
No, it's more of the passive aggressive. Like, God, I'm so mad at that bitch for doing things to me that I signed up for when I agreed to play roller derby.
What's your team and your league and the whole thing?
Well, I play with the Detroit Derby Girls, and the team I'm on is called the Detroit Pissed Offs. We're like the Pistons, but we're pissed off.
Yes.
You see what he did there?
We get
it's
it.
A witty and ribald pun.
Yes. We get it.
And then my roller derby name is Whamtramic.
Yes, you hail from the wonderful city of Hamtramck, Michigan.
Yes, from those mean streets. But
which, used to be where the Polish folks lived, but now it's
everybody.
It's a veritable mixing pot. Rainbow of flavors.
The Polacks died, and
there's still some Polish people
there.
There are still some Polish people.
You said you're telling me your grandma is still in
Hamtramck. Still in Hamtramck.
But does she lament what happened to the town? Does she look around and
she doesn't lament it. She's just confused.
Yeah.
Because when she was younger, it was 100% Polish
in
that city.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now, she hasn't grown up with the cultures. She's so new to so many of the different cultures that
she's never met,
In Hamtramck, it's like a small enclave. It's like, a mile and a half?
Yeah, it's
2 point something square miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a 2 mile little slab of Detroit that was predominantly Polish for most of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And,
well, it used to be actually, Hamtramck used to run from where Hamtramck is now all the way to the river. But Detroit kept annexing parts of the city, so now it's where it is. That's why it's just a little city in the middle of Detroit.
Huh.
Yeah. Because I lived there for like 3 years. And that's where, before I moved out to Ferndale. But because we did our radio debut on. In Hamtramck,
Michigan.
Before
we podcast, we would do like demos.
We made a demo in my Hamtramck apartment on a 4-track recorder.
Oh.
Me and Corey.
That's where the bit.
You're so old.
Yeah.
I know. That's where I believe the bit NHL Forward or War Criminal.
No, that I invented
show. I thought that was.
We didn't have any bits on that demo. How we expected to get hired from that, I have no idea.
It's terrible.
But we did. So
just Joel had charming and adorable, apparently.
Yeah,
so
Joel, we're still working on that.
Yeah. Joel Street, and he lived in an upstairs apartment in Hamtramck.
Yeah,
and
I have two different ones, but
you had a hooker that lived down, or a stripper.
There's
that
a stripper
lived
that lived downstairs. Yeah,
she might have done some hooking too.
I never paid for it. But
she was a hot mess.
She was. She was a drunk.
She was like she'd like stumble up the stairs and like knock on your door.
She came in the house for something once and started making. She grabbed me and started making out with me one day, just out of the blue.
And you moved.
Yeah, she moved before I moved. Oh, but
and when she left a bunch of stuff. And they were like,
yeah, that's true.
She left these big like Lucite stripper shoes,
right?
That were then sitting on top of Joel's TV for a long time.
That happened.
And then there was a rooster next door.
There was a guy. He did cockfighting, and he lived like two doors
of course
over.
He did.
Yeah,
that's you say it so nonchalantly.
The roosters would go off every morning and like wake us up. You know, I had a roommate
like
there,
roosters do.
And eventually, but you know, the story was that the guy, like, he would throw the dead cocks like in my garbage.
Oh,
so I went out there one day to take the garbage out, and I'm in the alley, and there's a dead rooster right there. I was like, oh, this is
that's
fun.
That's too bad.
I guess I'm not going to hear him anymore, which I guess was the one good thing. But it still sucks.
See, my grandma's neighbors were quieter. They had a shed full of pigeons because they pigeon farmed and ate the pigeons because we were that close to the old country when I was little.
Wow. Yeah, they should die. Part of me thinks they should just drop a bomb on that Hamtramck or something, but who knows?
You know,
the rats would survive because they got some radioactive-ass rats.
There are some scary rats.
There are still some Polish, there's a good chunk of Polish people still there because there's a restaurant where literally, I think the girls like get off the boat from Warsaw, and that's like they all get a job there.
That's
like,
pretty much how that works,
right? Right? It's like all the waitresses.
It's like their placement house.
Yeah, they're like fresh, fresh off the boat.
And if they and when they age out, you get some more fresh
the
off the boat.
The next wave comes in. Yeah.
All right, so the Derby, let's go back to that. Your name is Hamtramck. We're talking about Hamtramck. So you're doing this Derby, and you've been hurt, I know, from talking to you other times.
Yeah, and I end up popping along for a little while.
Yeah, well, why are you doing that? When is the retirement? What do you see? Do you see
You know, we'll see. I've just, it's a hobby for me. You know, it's not something, I have fun doing it. There are a lot of people who do it. I mean, it's cool that people do it for all kinds of different reasons. I do it because it's something fun to do. It was a new crowd. It was it's athletic. It's a way to keep in shape, you know. But there's some people who do it because they're trying to just really they want to win at everything.
Yeah.
And that's just I'm not that competitive.
You're not that competitive,
I'm doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Like when someone's yelling at me, it's like if you went to a bar and then somebody was like, "No, drink faster." Like that's what it feels like. It's like I'm doing this for fun. Why
but when
are
you get
yelling
hurt,
so much?
Do you get hurt out of like just repetition or is there like a specific thing
it depends.
Are you injured at the hands of another person?
I don't think I've been injured directly at the hands of another person. Usually it's a lot of people get injured maybe dicking around.
Yeah, okay.
Doing something that wasn't like you just fell wrong.
Okay.
You did something to yourself.
Yeah.
You brought this on yourself. You're like a battered woman. Like, no one did this to me. I did this to myself.
Well,
I shouldn't have been standing there when that happened.
Anyone can fall. I mean, I guess
You're traveling around on roller skates, and what do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
what's the speed? What's the average speed?
I mean, we have to skills test. Like, all of the girls, you have to take a bunch of skills testing to be able to do it. You have to be able to get in one full lap of the track in less than 13 seconds. And you have to be able to do at least 25 laps in 5 minutes. The really good skaters will do probably 35.
Oh, wow.
But that's it. You have 5 minutes and you got to skate it.
Yeah,
skate
I can't
hard.
Pass that test. I don't think I'm. Not that anyone's looking for me to do roller skates.
You know, I could never roller skate. I was never.
So you're right out from the start.
Oh, yeah. We used to have, like, roller skating parties in middle school.
Yeah.
And I could maybe make one lap around the. I mean, I could never.
I broke my ankle roller skating in fifth grade.
Well, this
and,
is way too traumatic for you
probably,
to talk about.
And I've been skating since then. But, yeah, you know, it's not for me.
Yeah. I think it's fun, but. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't if it didn't amuse me to some degree.
Yeah, but I don't
want
to see. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I'm discouraging you in the sense that you've done it. You've said you've done it. Find a new challenge. That's what I think.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I might do it for another year or two, and then kind of hang up my skates.
Yeah.
Find some other avenues. But it's cool because it's becoming so big. It's cool to get in on the ground floor or something. I mean,
how many people, what kind of crowds do you get?
We pack the Masonic Temple. We sell out.
Yeah. And
we sell out
over 1,000 Masonic Temple
seats.
Is in Detroit is like, it's this giant, gigantic complex. And they've got.
It's huge. It's actually the biggest Masonic Temple in the world. There's over 1,000 rooms in this building.
There's like over 1,000 rooms. And there's all kinds of ballrooms. And
yeah.
Chambers and dining halls and
ghosts.
Weird. So do you guys do it in the basement in the ballroom?
No, there's actually a drill hall where when they used to do the commandery with their twirling guns, they used to do it in this room. So it's kind of like a big gymnasium. It's got this huge vaulted ceilings that are now covered with drop ceilings, but it's the coolest room. It's enormous, though.
You could go to the Masonic Temple in Detroit like a dozen times and never see half of it.
Oh, yeah.
There are
secret passages.
Yeah.
There's freaking trapdoors.
People can get married there. They do all kinds of stuff. So
I went to a murder mystery dinner there one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Where they sat, you know, the people walked around your table and were like, I'm I'm Colonel Hoffenfaffen.
The area where we play, actually, right behind it, there's some locker rooms they created for those commandery guys, and they apparently are the most haunted hallways in the building. There are a bunch of old school suckases, like the hardback side suckases.
So, I mean, how many can you seat in there?
In the drill hall, we can seat 1,111 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So we pack up that room.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place to play.
Somebody's making money.
And then do you travel? I mean, you go around and...
I've traveled a couple of times, but I haven't played on the national team because that's another time commitment that I'd rather be...
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, can you make any money?
Yeah, there's no money.
The only way you could make money is if you are a good enough skater that people want to pay you to come and train other skaters.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's how some skaters do make money. Like, they used to be, their day job was a photographer, and then they became one of the best roller derby skaters internationally, and now people want to say, hey, we'll pay you $500 to come and teach us how to do what you do.
How many people are on the team?
Detroit Derby Girls as a league has about 100 skaters, and that's made up of 5 home teams.
Okay.
So I'm on 1 of 5, the Detroit Pissed Offs. The other ones are, there's the Grand Prix Madonnas.
About 20 girls a team.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Wow.
And there's a Defunk All-Stars, Devil's Night Dames, and the Pistol Whippers.
Which ones do you hate? Which bitches do you want to just claw their eyes out?
It's not one specific team.
No,
you know, everybody has their days.
One particular
sometimes,
player,
you know, everybody's got their days where sometimes someone just says something and you're like, it's like that, one of my friends compared it to a sorority, and at first I was really in denial, but really it's like sometimes you have those days where you're just like, God, why do you just keep making sounds with your face? Stop doing that.
Now,
why do you have to keep making sounds?
Do you have like a particular rival, though? You know, like I'm a team that you're...
Everybody
really
is. I mean, there's only 5 teams. Everybody's a rival. The last 2 years, actually, in the championships, we played against this team, the Grand Prix Madonnas, who we lost to this year. Last year, we beat them. So I guess that one's kind of a rivalry. But, I mean, all
so
the
teams
have...
So that's like your league, and then you play other leagues?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
There's a couple of travel teams, which is like the All-Stars. Our A travel team is actually ranked, I believe, 16th internationally out of the 400 teams in the world right now.
Well, that's pretty good.
400 teams in the world?
Something like that. I mean, there are 286 or something last I checked that were ranked, and we have this Women's Flat Track Derby Association that we are in, and those are just the certified sanctioned teams.
Okay, now what's the difference between the flat track? There's like a curved track.
That's the banked track. That one is, it's more expensive and there's higher overhead, so we do flat track because we can do it for cheaper. I mean, the tracks themselves are a few thousand dollars, and then it's another several thousand dollars.
But that's
got to
be more
insure.
Fun, right, the bank track?
Well,
it's a little faster. People get hurt.
Yeah.
There are some teams, I guess, in San Diego, the league does both a hybrid, both flat and bank track, and they love it. But
now, do you do the whip around move?
Oh, I've done that, yeah.
Yeah,
do you do knocking some people?
The double clothesline? You guys do that one?
Unfortunately, no, because then you might kill someone and they frown upon that.
Yeah, but see, when I watched roller derby as a kid,
it was worked.
Well, because roller derby, the start of roller derby, from what I know, and this is just because I know so much about professional wrestling, but the guy that originally started roller derby was the guy who had the wrestling time slot on like the San Francisco station, and they said, the wrestling was successful, and they wanted another hour of something, so he made up the sport, essentially.
Well, there was actually the first guy that started roller derby was in the 30s, and it was just supposed to be, like, I guess he was skating away from the cops, and he was like, I should find a way to get points doing this.
But the guy that I'm talking about that made this league or whatever, that put it on TV, you know, it was a work. It was like wrestling. You know, they would do angles, and when they brought it back in the 80s, that's what, and they still had some of these people that were on in the 50s
and 60s. I think there was some roller derby prior to that in the 50s.
Right, but I'm saying the guy that popularized it, and then roller derby started to spread, and this 80s product they had.
Well, there was the L.A. T-Birds.
Right.
They were big in the
70s. I like that Corey's got Wikipedia open, and he's just going to talk
about stuff. No, I remember that stuff.
Right, they would play, and they'd have managers, and they'd have penalties. So they would do some of the stuff, like you're talking about the double clothesline and that. They would do these illegal moves, and then someone would go to the penalty box, and then they would have to come back.
It had wrestling storylines.
There were, like, fake injuries and all that stuff.
The managers would get.
But my feeling is I feel like that's a little more safe to do it that way.
Well,
and
I mean,
because you feel like, you know, this way, when you're doing it for real, it's sort of like, you know. I feel like maybe it needs a little bit of a wink and a nod and sort of, like, yeah, we're not really going to kill each other. We just want to put on a good show.
We do have a lot of rules. People don't get hurt as often as they... Like, don't get seriously hurt as often as they think. I mean, after a game, you walk away, you're sore for 3 days.
Okay.
I mean, you're doing a lot of... I mean, we do a lot of squats. We do a lot of stuff to prepare to make sure that people don't hurt themselves or each other really bad. Really, it's more... Right. People are getting hurt more just like some fluke accident instead of it being the... The clothesline went horribly wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I haven't played a game where somebody got seriously injured. One of my friends actually broke her arm because she was holding her hand behind someone, and then the person skated so fast through that she just snapped her top arm bone.
That's what you don't want.
That's what you don't want, but she was doing it wrong. So she shouldn't have had her arm there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you get hurt if it's fake, too. I'm not, because I, you know, wrestling's fake, and those guys get hurt all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm there. I watch these guys get hurt every minute, and it drives me crazy.
A friend of mine's dating a professional wrestler, and she goes to all the shows, and the other day, a guy broke the top bone in his leg. And
the femur.
That was an unpleasant one. Apparently, if he hadn't been wearing the tight pants underneath it, that would have been a... That would have been a skin popper.
Oh, well, that's delightful.
That's very pleasant.
Good times.
Oh,
good times. But I haven't seen any of those in person, so I feel like that's a little safer.
I was doing a wrestling show, and the guy, I forget what the stipulation, this was, I think we're at Clutch Cargo's, and I forget what the stipulation of the match was. It was some, like, barbed wire death match or something, right?
Of course
it was. The guy got, like, knocked unconscious, and he shit his pants.
Of course he did.
And a guy comes back. Jesus. He comes back through the curtain, and he's covered in blood from head to toe. And I had to carry, me and another guy had to carry this guy. And he goes, I shit my... And he's like, he's barely conscious. He's like, I think I shit my pants out there. Because he didn't even really remember what happened. So we had to, like, take this guy into, like, a bathroom. Yeah. Like, you know, we're at Clutch Cargo, so, like, you have to walk down all these stairs to go to the dressing room. And this guy's covered in blood, and he just shit his pants. And I'm like, yeah, you're in the main event, buddy. You made it. You wanted to be a wrestler.
See, I haven't seen much wrestling like that.
You're concussed, and you shit your pants.
That must have been a gold star day for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, this guy's had other bad days, I'm sure. But it was like, you know, I just go, hey, look, I'm the ring announcer. I'm happy doing this.
Well,
you know, I go out there. I say what I say.
Yeah.
I get hit with a chair once in a while. But very rarely.
I had an ex-boyfriend who was really into wrestling, and I didn't see much.
Yeah.
Like, he watched it occasionally, but I've seen wrestling. I saw it once at the Ritz in Warren, which is a pretty divey bar where I saw my friend's boyfriend wrestle.
Yeah.
And then I also saw extreme midget wrestling at the Gibraltar Trade Center.
Nice. Okay.
River.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because that's a thing that came
those guys,
touring
I've
into town.
I know those midget extreme
wrestlers. Of course you... I mean, you've got a very wide network.
Midget wrestling's exciting because they're denser. Their muscles
Well, there's a guy. He may be
more compact.
You may not...
So they're stronger than regular people.
Let me tell you, there's a guy, you may not remember this. I'm guessing he's in that group, but there's a guy named...
on Wikipedia?
No.
No, there's right. There's a guy named Meatball.
Yeah.
He's the strongest midget wrestler in the world, and he builds himself as that. He literally could probably bench like 400, 500 pounds. This guy's a monster. And he is. He's like...
I don't think it's because he's a midget. I think it's because he bodybuilds.
He does, but Corey's right. There is something to like
the problem is that gives you power. They're very strong. But unfortunately, you can pick them up because they don't weigh that much, and you can get leverage on them.
No,
one of them was named Baby Jesus. I think he was my favorite.
I think Meatball might have weighed 200 pounds, and he was about 4 feet tall.
Well, they're tinier. They're denser. They're compact.
They're delightfully dense. They're little.
No, they're like
their little fingers and toes. They're like fudge.
They're like vulcanized. They're like fudge. They're thick and dense. They're like vulcanized rubber.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very thick.
They're very thick,
You know, more dense.
Yeah, but this guy Meatball was a trip, man. This guy was, anyway.
That's why there's no midget swimmers.
They just sink. Well, it's like it's like a pug. Like a pug can't swim. A bulldog can't. You know, dogs can swim.
Yeah.
Bulldogs can't swim.
That's too
bad.
They
sink right to the bottom of the pool.
I know bulldogs.
Did you test this?
No, they do. It's a fact.
Oh.
If you have a pool and you have a bulldog, you can't let your bulldog near the pool. Howard Stern
told the
story.
Teaching me so much.
Howard Stern told the story once his bulldog got into the pool. And Howard had to jump in and like.
Well, they've got little. They got little arms.
Yeah, they're too dense.
Like the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
They're too dense to float. Yeah, to swim.
I know bull dykes can swim.
Gotta take it full circle back to that.
Well, and then after when you get done with the roller derby, you're going to move into the professional water polo tournament, and then
Well, any of that team isn't it? What is the is water polos where they throw the ball, right?
Yeah, I think hipster water polo is the next thing.
That
right?
could be, but then you got to have a pool.
Right.
You got to have a whole thing there. I don't know.
Oh.
It seems like harder venue.
Do you remember roller games back in the late 80s? They kept bringing back roller games.
Yeah, there was I think there were two rivals in the 80s.
There was like rock and roller games.
Because they had
that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
They had the AWA wrestling on ESPN, and then they showed that roller derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I never really got into the roller derby, but, you know, they explained the rules. But, you know, it would get... And for some reason, it was just cornier than...
Yeah, somehow it was cornier than wrestling.
But they had men and women, and they would do, like, a men's period and then a woman's.
Yeah.
And then they did some co-ed jams.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play it. We scrimmaged against dudes before. And it's funny, though, because they all hit with the top part of their bodies where we're trained to hit with your hips.
Yeah.
And you hit a guy with... I mean, they think they're going to knock you down, and then you don't fall down, but you hit them with your hips. And then they just
guys shoulder
end up
tackle.
Sprawling.
Yeah,
yeah, guys, I could see that.
Pad level. You got to get your pad
you
level
get your
low.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. All right.
I mean, it's not like we're not wearing any protection.
Roller games had that. They had an alligator pit in the middle of it. They would do like we're going to the gator match, and they'd like
that would be great.
Yeah, and they would like try to knock somebody into
but
the gator
pit. They were fake,
pit.
You know. So they was like
fake alligators.
No, real alligators, but the league was fake. No one really ever went into the alligator.
How many black girls are in the roller derby league?
There are a few. I don't know. I don't regularly count them.
I'm going to guess that that's an advantage. Because of the ass. You know what I'm saying? The big ass.
Oh, we all develop a big ass within a few weeks. That's like the thing with roller derby. Like one of the big roller derby skaters, Susie Hot Rod out of New York, just recently said having a big ass in roller derby is like being tall in basketball.
Right. You have a protective ass.
Wow. All right. Yeah. That's
you develop a big ass.
You develop a big ass. You do a lot of squats.
Yeah.
You're squatting a
lot. You know
who'd
be good
at
roller derby? Kent Tucker.
He has a big womanly ass.
It's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke.
It's a friend of ours.
Kent.
But there you go.
You did say that, like, he's like a woman.
He's got the ass of like a lunch lady.
I don't know what most guys' asses are, but yeah, I've seen that.
I'm a woman, and I've never noticed Kent Tucker's ass.
Take a look at Kent's ass. He's got, like, mom jean butt.
But he's
got, like.
Is it because he wears a certain jean that makes his ass look?
He's got mom jeans or something. Because if you look at Kent, he's a handsome guy.
Listen, sometimes people can't afford to go to all the fancy stores like you. They got to go to
there's a difference between
Salvation Army.
No, look, there's a difference between buying jeans at Old Navy and buying them at Dress Barn. I think there's like
you think
Ken's
he's over
shopping
at,
over there at Ladybug or something. I don't know what. He's got this thick, like, mom ass.
He's at Lane Bryant picking out jeans.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I've never noticed.
He's a handsome guy when he's sitting down.
He is.
Like, you look at Ken.
Now I've got to book Ken, and we've got to talk about. If you're willing to talk about your lady ass.
Well, what we'll do, we'll just get some roller derby girls.
Sure.
And Kent, and we'll measure asses.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've
got to
take a picture of that, everybody from the back.
From
and
the
then
back.
Say,
guess the roller derby girl.
Which one isn't a roller derby girl?
It's three roller derby girls and this comic. And whose ass is.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We've completely dumped on him for no reason. Let's move along.
He's a good guy. He's a funny guy.
Let's move along. Right. I want to talk to Lauren about Cedar Point because this woman over here,
Lee
Evan,
Cedar Point.
Is like the queen of Cedar Point.
Are you really?
You love it
so
much. So
many things.
That's the big, for those of you that don't know, it's the big amusement park. It's in Sandusky, Ohio. It's just a couple hours from
Detroit.
They
win the best amusement park in the world lot.
Cedar Point is strategically positioned halfway between Cleveland and Detroit.
Yeah.
Cleveland's about a 2.5 hour ride from here.
From here, yeah. So it's about a half hour outside Cleveland.
So it's strategically positioned to get the whole Detroit and Cleveland markets.
Sure.
Oh,
both of them buffered in there.
It's amazing. I always get like this platinum season pass. My little sister and I got the platinum season pass the last couple of years where you get parking included and you can go to all of, it's actually owned by this company that now they own Knott's Berry Farm in California and Kings Island and Michigan's Adventure. So all over the place we can go to these
parks.
Oh,
they buy them all, really?
You've been to Cedar Point this year.
Oh,
already.
Yeah. It was great.
And how was it?
It was great. They opened up the new roller coaster this year. My sister and I got there super early. We still had to wait like 3 fucking hours. But it was worth it. It was a good roller coaster.
Tell us about what's the new roller coaster?
The new roller coaster is called the Gatekeeper. I used to really like the Raptor when I was little, which is one of those ones where your legs are dangling the whole time.
Yeah.
This one, your legs are dangling and there's nothing above you. The track is in the middle, so you're kind of on the wings.
All right.
So there's nothing above you, nothing below you, and you're just kind of flying through on that one. That one was really cool. We very much enjoyed that one. But they've got a lot of really good roller coasters at this park.
Because I went last year, and I hadn't been in probably a decade before that, I'm guessing. I can't remember exactly. But here's what I found. Because there were roller coasters I'd never been on, and I went for the first time. Corey, you better listen up. This involves you.
Okay.
They're making the rides now. Now, listen, I'm not saying I haven't gained weight in the last... That's the last time I was at Cedar Point. You almost can't fit in the rides. And I'm not saying you, yeah. Lauren, but they make the rides now where, Corey, you would be on the fringe of not fitting in the ride.
Well, I'd be okay with that.
They've got a little tester seat at the front.
They have a tester seat, but
so
I've seen...
So you can try it out.
I also saw people... bounced from the I fit.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the walk
people get up
of shame.
And then they
oh,
make
that's
you
so disappointing.
They make you, if it doesn't close, they just go get off.
That is heartbreaking. Yeah. God, that hurts my feelings when I see it happen.
I fit in every ride. The two that were the worst were the Wicked Twister.
Yeah, that one.
And the
funny, right?
The Top Thrill Dragster. Those were the two tightest fits.
And those are the two you really don't want to fall out of.
Yeah.
You don't want to fall out of any of them.
But it was just like, I'm like, wow. Because I remember being a kid and they'd have that.
Right.
And whatever, and like I remember being on roller coasters with like, at the time, what seemed like gigantic fat men, like 350, 400 pound men, would be on the roller coaster next to me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, where do they go now? They guess they just don't go. I mean, literally, like if you're just a, I mean, like
even if you're too tall,
yeah.
Like, if you're over like 6'4",
yeah,
which I mean, that's like the. I mean, who the hell is over 6'4"?
Yeah, yeah,
how
like,
many people
yeah,
are there?
5%
like professional
of the male population,
basketball
yeah, probably 6'4".
But they have to bounce you from line because the shoulder straps
yeah,
won't fit over
just,
you.
It's ridiculous
but you
now.
Would think with the gargantuan girth of the average American.
Especially in Michigan and Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're in the Midwest. Yeah,
right.
You're in two towns that love sausage.
Yeah.
You would think that they would, you know,
yeah.
adjust.
But it's not. It's really weird. Cause I was like, man, these things are like... super constricted.
Are they making these coasters in Korea or something? What is it?
I think the deal is that they want you to have like your body not to move at all during the ride. They want your body like part of the seat.
They want to make sure that you're not going to fall out.
And that's why they never let midgets on the rides either, because they're smaller and denser.
No, you have to be above a certain height.
Yeah,
if they're a midget that's over 52 inches, I'm pretty sure they can ride any ride.
Yeah, but if the midget falls out of the cart, he's just going to bounce when he gets to the ground.
he's going to...
Because he's like a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's like a Super Bowl.
Unless they're over water, where they may just go right to the bottom.
This is a...
There's a lot of water at
but
Cedar Point.
This is a throwback show. I'm just being completely absurd and racist and sexist.
That's fine.
I want to thank you.
I'll get a midget in here to... By the way, if anyone can book us a midget in the Detroit area, I'm all for
I'm
having
a midget.
I'm
dying to have
here.
A midget.
I'll send a car out to get the midget.
There's a midget strip place. You should book a midget through there and then just...
There's a midget strip club.
Not strip club company where you hire strippers.
Oh, okay.
My mom's really into midgets.
If there was a midget... Excuse me. You're saying it wrong. I believe the appropriate term is shorties.
Shouties?
What do they prefer to be called?
Little people.
Mistakes, I think, is the...
All right.
Official term.
Shoddy is a different thing.
I think if they had a midget strip club, like an all-midget strip club, that would be the best thing ever.
No.
That would definitely be a thing.
With like a little door you had to like stoop down to get in.
Well, I met one of the most famous midgets in the world. I met Beetlejuice, who technically isn't a midget. If you know Beetlejuice from Howard Stern, you know who I'm talking to?
He's
got acromegaly.
Okay.
So he's not acromegaly. That's gigantic.
Acromegaly is
No, he has what's it called? He's a microcephalic dwarf.
He's a pinhead.
Yeah, he's basically a pinhead.
Yeah.
If you remember the old movie Freaks, Todd Browning's movie Freaks, he looks like he's got that pinhead, but he's got a weird like he has the smallest hands I've ever seen on a person.
Right.
Because he like would take his hand, and I don't have big hands for a guy.
Your hands are pretty beefy.
But they're small that way. I know they're small.
Lauren, let me see your hands. Yeah, see, there's like a
But Lauren's hand is probably the size of my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have relative hands for a guy.
I've been told I have big hands.
You have big hands. You do.
You're a monster.
Beetlejuice's entire hand fit in the palm of my hand. Like full outstretched fingers. And I was like, I was freaking out by that. I was like, you have the tiniest little hand, Beetlejuice. You're just like, you know.
Speaking of midgets and freaks, and we'll get into this in a minute.
Yes.
Marty Kleba was at Comic-Con.
Yeah, Marty Kleba's from Detroit.
He's a world-renowned midget.
He's the midget from Pirates. That's where he sort of got famous. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
And the opposite...
And he was in that Oz movie that just came out.
The opposite of Beetlejuice was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, okay. You saw him at
Who was at the Comic-Con. His hands were... I mean, I have pretty big hands, apparently.
Yeah.
His hands were like honey-baked hams. They were like giant, like his fist.
You shook hands with Hacksaw?
Yeah. And I was like... His hand just was beefy. Yeah,
he's got some big hands.
Sorry to go back to the midget thing, but a couple of years ago...
apologize for talking about... You want to get into the midgets. Yeah,
was a couple of years ago a Midgets versus Celebrities basketball game at Troy High School.
Oh, wow.
That was a thing. Marty Kleba was in it. I don't know. It was like some of the Pistons and Marty Kleba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I didn't get a chance to go, but it sounded like the most amazing experience. It sounded magical.
Mitch Albom must have been on the midget team, right?
On the midget. He would show up and they'd go, all right, midget's over there. And he'd be like, wait a minute.
Hey now, everybody.
I wrote 2 New York Times bestsellers. All right, Mitch. Come on back over.
Tuesdays with Maury. Oh,
I met Mitch the other day. Mitch is about 5'3".
He's not tall.
He's about 5'3", and he's got poofy hair.
Where did you run into Mitch?
He was at the comedy club.
Oh.
Well, there was a benefit that Mitch had something to do with, and Mitch came in, so, yeah.
I goof on him, but I've met Mitch a few times. He's not a bad guy.
Yeah, Mitch is fine.
Tiny, though. He's a pocket-sized man. He's a tiny little man.
I've seen some small... A lot of comics are small.
Yeah.
You don't realize.
Kevin Hart is like...
Kevin Hart, yeah.
Three apples high.
I did the five-year engagement with him. He's a little tiny guy. Dave Attell's a small guy. Dave's like 5'5".
Yeah, he's not a huge dude, no.
Yeah, Dave's about 5'5". Kind of my hero, Robert Schimmel, who's not with us anymore, I think Robert Schimmel was like 5'4".
Robert Schimmel's about this big now.
Yeah, well, come on. Don't be a dick. Robert Schimmel...
Was a
short guy, but he had that deep voice. He had that deep, you know. He would tell.
Yeah, I jerked off. I called into Robert Schimmel on the radio.
Listen to the Robert Schimmel CD and jerk yourself.
I don't think it's a coincidence that all comedians are short. They got funny because they were short.
Because they got beat up or something.
Look, with the exception, and he's not funny. Dane Cook, being a tall, attractive dude.
Right. Yeah.
Either comics are really tall.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien is like kind of freakishly tall.
Brian Posehn.
He has so much limbs. It's not even like he's like a spider.
Gary Gulman is really tall.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
You can go that way. There are the super tall comics. Yeah. But normally comics are a little deformed or misshaped, or you know, like me, they're a little
short men.
Yeah. Like Quasimodo.
I bet
Quasimodo had a killer personality.
I'm sure he was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm built like a brown bear.
Sure.
And you know, they're a little.
Well, weird. I was a short. Like when I was in grade school, I was the shortest kid in the grade. Not just the class. I was the shortest person.
Really?
I was shorter than all the girls. And I think there was like one other little Italian kid that was like my height.
Wow.
There was Joe.
They bred the wrong kind of Italian.
Joe Pizzo and I were about the same height.
Hey, paisan.
And then Gaspar Vitale was like maybe had a little. Gaspar Vitale was just there. So there was Fregamenti, Pizzo, and Vitale were these little Italian
like the
boys.
Three Stooges.
And then I got taller like in high school, middle school. I started to get taller. And then I got fat. So then I got sort of like I grew in every direction. I sort of ended up being average height.
We had a pair of Chaldean twins named Tom and John Kizzy.
Yeah.
And they were pocket sized. They came up to fit your hip. until about 11th grade.
And then they, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until like sophomore year of high school.
That happened sometimes.
And then they grew up to about 5'6". You know, they did not get real tall, those guys. But they were like tiny.
I kind of see that. Like I was sort of funny short kid, you know, and I didn't get beat up too much because I was funny.
Well, comedy generally comes from some...
People liked me.
At least good comedy comes from some sort of outsider weird... So what's your damage? That's what let's get into. what were wrong for you?
I was a fat kid growing up,
What
man.
Went wrong for you?
Yeah. My parents are ridiculous.
You're saying
a fat kid.
You're saying
it was
a
great.
Lot of glumpkies, a lot of...
Well, no, just potatoes. Poland is amazing at... They like pimped out comfort food. They're like, here, we heard you like carbs. We put some carbs in your carbs. You got some potato pierogi up in this bitch.
Yeah, yeah. You'll take dough and wrap it around a potato.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Doubling up on the carbs.
That's just magic.
People in Poland got to like laugh at the gluten allergy.
Oh,
thing.
I'm sure. Yeah.
What the heck? Gluten.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been vegetarian for 10 years. My family doesn't believe me still. It's still a joke for me to... bring fake meat and look, I've got fake
meat.
That's,
well,
it's
yeah,
funny.
It's,
you're
it's,
funny.
They like pork with their pork. It's a very Eastern European kind of
food.
Well,
city chicken, you know, that's pork on a stick, breaded like chicken. And my grandma always will say, Lauren, you want some city chicken? And I say, no, grandma, you know, I don't eat meat. Oh. She goes, well, you know, it's not chicken, right? I'm like, it's still meat, you tricky old bag. Stop doing this.
I love that shit where, like, it's when they say it's not meat, but it's, you know, oh, turkey, that's not a meat.
That's not meat.
Right.
It's not, yeah.
Fish, that's not meat.
But
oh,
then
you're
again,
saying Jesus ate fish, and so he's. You're saying Jesus is bad?
Vegetarians got every combination of bullshit that
there
they
are
come
a lot
up with.
Of,
no offense intended for you, but you know how that is. There's people.
There's
who,
a lot of pescatarians.
Yeah, there's pescatarians
who sort of bend the rules.
There's people
or
that'll eat chicken.
Freegans, the people who will just eat anything as long as it comes out of a garbage can. That's a thing.
Oh, that is a thing.
Well, let's hope you don't go down that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Well, no.
Not
okay.
yet.
I'm doing okay
You're
for myself,
okay.
so I don't need garbage right now.
That's good.
But Polish. Oh God.
You love Polish.
I want to go to Polonia, the restaurant
really?
with the immigrant girls right off the boat. Because last time I was there, I had a potato pancake with goulash.
The Hungarian one? That's
Isn't that
the Hungarian
awesome?
Pancake? Yeah.
How good is that?
See, I prefer Polish Village for a lot of stuff. It's a toss-up because these two Polish restaurants are right across.
They're next door to each other.
They're across a large parking lot from each other. There's enough room for the dance fight to happen eventually.
You can kick a football.
Like, they're
going
to step dance.
You can kick a soccer ball between them very comfortably.
Yes.
Did you correct yourself to soccer ball because you realized they were European?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, football.
It's a football, technically.
You kick football, yeah. It's
yeah, I say football, and people look at me like an asshole when I'm talking about soccer.
Sure,
they've got these things at Polish Village called their kotlet jibowe, which means the mushroom cutlet. It's like a meatball made of chopped up mushrooms.
Right.
It's the best food.
I don't think I've had that. I'll have
God,
to try that.
So
well,
good.
Corey's ready to go.
No, and look.
Corey's got his keys in hand.
If somebody says we're going to Polish Village, I don't put up a fight.
Right.
I mean.
But that's your preferred. You're
I'm
the Polonia guy.
I'm a Polonia partisan just because the soup.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got very good
their
dill
soup
pickle
soup. Puts them over the top, and it's good. They're both good.
Well, I made this decision, you know, if you go to Frankenmuth, it's the same thing with the chicken. Now,
right, you got Zenders.
Yeah,
then
there's Zenders and the Bavarian Inn, and they're right across the street from each other. Mm-hmm. And people, you just go, what do you do?
Yeah.
What will I possibly? And they both have a line out the door most of the time.
I don't know if we ever talked about Frankenmuth on the show.
Well, I was there. I went on a vacation there like last year.
Do we take meals there?
No, we didn't take. You know, it's like fake. You know, a lot of places have these like German towns that are, for tourists. They have them all over. It's not
in Michigan. We have Holland, Michigan, which is.
Sure.
You know, supposed to be a
fake
Dutch
stuff,
fake Dutch colony.
Oh, yeah, it's made of wooden shoes.
Right, and it's all tulips. And you know what? They really should. If you go there, you should really get, like, the big carton of fries with the mayo.
Right.
You should get weed and a donut. Because, I mean, that would really be the Netherlands.
That would be
and like
modern-day Holland.
Hookers.
Yeah.
That, you know, Amsterdam. Right. Let's
Not
get,
enough hookers
right.
in Holland, Michigan.
But Frankenmuth is Little Bavaria.
Yeah.
It's the whole shtick is it's supposed to be like a little German town.
Yeah,
and they have two, for some reason, chicken restaurants.
Well, what happened is because I went there and I wrapped myself in Frankenmuth history. What happened was the Zender. I think the deal was the Zender. Let me try to think. They're the same family. Like there were people that left the Zender family.
That's what often happens
to form the rival restaurant. And I believe the Bavarian Inn is the rival restaurant.
I believe the Bavarian Inn is still owned by the Zenders.
Right, but I think one of them is sort of was the outlaw. I believe it's Bavarian. I believe Zenders might have. No, the Bavarian Inn is the outlaw. I think Zenders is the original. And Bavarian
well,
came,
doing
but
pretty
it was
well
like,
for themselves for an hour.
Yeah, I know. So
it's the same thing with the stupid conies.
And with all the pizza places in Detroit, you mean Buddies and Shields didn't know each other?
Yeah, there's that stuff. But yeah,
There's Lafayette and American share a wall.
Yeah.
And I think Lafayette was one of the brothers,
and he went
or
off.
A cousin or something, left.
And they
and
all knew each other's secrets.
The New York pizzerias are like that. There's one guy that worked at a thing, and he moved. But these chicken, like, there's rival. People prefer one chicken or the other.
And there's really
they're
no
known
difference.
For fried chicken, and they're kind of the same thing. I went to Bavarian Inn when I was there. I made my choice.
Just busloads of gray hairs rolling.
Old
people from across the Midwest in Canada just stream into Frankenmuth, and you get fudge and fried chicken. I don't know what
and a bunch of ornaments because they've got that big.
They got a Christmas
giant Christmas store that's like an acre of Christmas.
Frankenmuth has chocolate covered pretzels, fudge, chicken. and homophobia. I believe those are what the things they sell.
No, it's a little tourist thing. People go up for the weekend, and you know, but they're known for having these chicken places that are just rivals. And if you take one away, it would ruin the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It would.
Like the chicken.
The relationships would be ruined.
The twin chicken thing. You'd need,
right. if you
feed off each other. They're competitive.
And their hate is what keeps
the
city going.
Well, what I do is Freeway Fritz. That's my...
Yeah, Corey.
Well, the Frankenmuth, if you're heading to another gig somewhere, you know, you have to go through Frankenmuth to head north in Michigan, pretty much, unless you're going northwest. Freeway Fritz is a gas station that does the same thing as
they make
the
Frankenmuth style.
The chicken restaurants that you wait around, like there's seriously Gertie and Helga and every old broad, and it's just like every 80-year-old
people
woman
come up and everyone has to eat
here.
There, so everyone's lined up.
Right.
Well, I actually stayed in the
Freeway
Bavarian
Fritz.
And
you roll right in.
Okay.
Walk up to the counter and you can get the chicken and it's all
good.
You
can get the chicken and it's fine. But yeah, I stayed at the hotel, the Bavarian Inn Lodge.
Yeah, people make like a vacation.
They've got
a water park in there now.
Yeah,
they
do all kinds of stuff.
It's like two streets and like
it
six,
is, but
like,
people love it.
It's like two streets and six blocks, and you walk around it.
It's
in an
not
hour,
a vacation like Cedar Point's a vacation.
No, yeah, it's not.
Right,
it's
like
how every gas station I stopped at, there was someone named Jolene. I didn't realize it was such a popular name until I went to
Cedar
Ohio.
Point?
In Ohio, I stopped somewhere in Maumee. I was like, and there were two. There was Jolene M and Jolene S. And I was like, really? There's more than one of those. Didn't know that name was big.
Multiple Jolene's.
Did you go to the animal safari?
I haven't gone to the safari
yet. I told you to go.
It's expensive.
Cool.
It's expensive to go see that damn white alligator.
Well, it's like $15 a person, maybe?
I think it's like, if there's only two people in the car, I just went with my younger sister last time, like $40 a person.
Yeah?
Anything with an E in it.
It's not bad.
Darlene, Charlene, Doreen.
My favorite
Jolene.
Thing about Cedar Point, though, is the people watching. You know?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You can't see enough Fu Manchu mustaches at Cedar
no.
Point.
No,
yeah, it is.
Fu Manchu mullets. There's a lot of man sandals. There's a lot of puffy paint t-shirts.
Right.
I love seeing a good guy with like knuckle tats and a mullet, and then he's wearing a puffy paint t-shirt that says, like Johnson Family Reunion 2012.
If you want to see a guy unironically wearing a Warrant t-shirt, that might be the place
to
go.
Yeah, because the amusement park is sort of the big, you know, everyone goes there, you see all kinds.
Like, there's a guy who's still wearing his Saigon Kick gear.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's guys who don't know.
There's a lot of people in L.A. gear.
Yeah.
L.A. gear.
There's a lot of L.A. gear.
That's a, there's a clothing label I forgot about. People rolling around in there.
You will not forget about it if you go to Cedar Point at any point this year.
Are they rolling in their J. Cavaricci's?
Yeah, I think you'll see some old
kicking
stuff.
You'll see some good old school stuff going on. You'll see a lot of thinning hair, a lot of denial.
Hugo Boss.
A lot of kids in
bum equipment. Do we have some bum equipment rolling around? Yeah.
Oh, there's some bum equipment. There's a lot of bums.
All right, Corey, tell me this story. Now,
is making fun of people in their old school fashions as she wears an NSYNC shirt.
Yeah, you are wearing an NSYNC t-shirt.
It's vintage.
Good
vintage.
Job there.
You earned that.
I earned that. I saw this concert. My dad won me tickets to this concert on the radio in 1998.
Wow. Where were they playing NSYNC?
The Palace.
Oh, my goodness. The Palace of Hearts. Yeah. A giant venue.
It is. It was
packed.
It's
been crazy.
It was screaming.
Is it
my
just
cousin
all screaming?
Took me in her Bug, and I was so excited, and we got to one of the guys from New Kids on the Block was on his solo career, and he opened for NSYNC, and so she was passively excited, even though she was in her 20s, and she couldn't really say. She was like, oh, yeah, Lauren, that's Joey
McIntyre.
It's
all, now, where were you age-wise when that happened?
I was like 11.
Oh, okay, so you're pretty young. I mean, that's probably not a whole lot younger than that.
No,
so you're pretty young there.
Yeah,
because I would think NSYNC, because I remember going, like, it's just, I'm laughing about this, and it's not funny at all, but like, a girl like, I can't even tell the story next. I'm going to seem like such a dick the way I set it up, so I'm sorry.
Joel, wait.
There
hold
was
on,
a girl, but sometimes,
on. Wait,
high
gonna,
school girl.
You're
going
to sounding like a dick stop
I know,
you now?
Yeah, I know.
6 years into this show, you're going to suddenly worry about.
There was a girl who, and not NSYNC, but I think it was New Kids on the Block. That there was a girl who, like, you know, that week after you graduate, how, like, you know, it's the most dangerous week for high school graduating seniors.
Yes.
A girl was killed in a car crash trying to get to the New Kids on the Block's hotel.
Wah, wah,
that was like the tragedy of my high school graduation. Yeah.
No kids on the
How
lot.
Ridiculous is that?
Why
Actually, she was
ruin everything?
She was like hit by a car that was stolen and the police were chasing him, but she just happened to be on the way to like the New Kids on the Block hotel room.
Wow.
So it's like when she died, we were all like, "Well, that's
Shouldn't have been there anyway.
That's a dumb fucking way. I mean, you know, I mean, like anyway, you know, it's a tragedy and sad, yet you were doing something stupid. Okay, yeah. But anyway. But I would think an NSYNC concert, there's girls up to high school age. There's probably even college age girls.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of people
girls.
There.
Yeah, so
the place was packed.
Yeah.
I saw them twice.
Twice?
Saw them in like 90, no, it was 99 and 2000.
Did you see them on the way down or anything? They were at their height?
They were at their height in that time frame. I had walls covered in like teen bop posters.
Oh, wow.
Like literally, oh, God.
They were the guys.
My mom used to tell me that my roommate are claustrophobic because there were so many eyes on the walls.
Wow.
It was bad. It was really bad. Those were some embarrassing
Did you
times.
Yell the whole, like they come out and you just start screaming?
I was so emotional about it that I blacked out. I don't remember
really?
Anything during.
Wow.
I remember nothing during
you
that concert.
That, like, you can't remember it was that.
I was so emotionally distraught over being
God.
In the same room as Justin Timberlake that I have no memory of those 3 hours.
Wow.
It was a really rough time for me.
Did you buy those Mrs. Timberlake panties? Did you? Just don't lie to me. You did it. You did it.
No, this is the only piece of NSYNC merchandise I've ever purchased, unfortunately.
Because you know, like, I know the Beatles stuff, and they would say, like, when the Beatles would come to town,
yeah,
that, like, the girls would, like, scream so well that the album said that girls were having orgasms because they were, like, that, like, into the Beatles.
That's entirely possible.
And then I've also heard stories from, like the ushers and the guys in the theater that there would be, like, pee running down the theater floor because the girls were, like, wetting themselves. When the Beatles came out, and
I feel like they're just kind of
but that's what they
projecting
said.
In that case.
They might be, because
they were literally projecting.
Yeah, but you know what happens is, you know, the phenomenon of like, because what they say is that like when girls scream at a certain age, like that's a like a learned behavior. Like you see
people do it,
and then you repeat it. So when girls yelled for Elvis, girls probably were yelling for Frank Sinatra in the 40s, and then Elvis in the 50s, and so whatever comes around, that's sort of the reaction.
And it's
that it
the
gets.
Worst thing in the world.
And yeah,
to go
and I
to.
Go and I go, geez, that just sounds awful.
God, the science that we've covered today, from you know,
preteen girls,
you know, women's orgasmic crowd dynamics to midgets muscular
that's
density
what they say.
To and
if.
Lesbian sexual.
If you
tendencies.
Watch some of like the
science,
watch the Beatles on Ed Sullivan or one of those shows when they cut to the girls in the crowd, and they're like biting their lips and they sort of.
They're
look,
also a lot of them
they
are
look,
sobbing. Like
they look,
are,
yeah, yeah.
They can't emotionally handle well, that concept.
Now they
of,
flipped out for Frank Sinatra too, but
right.
Was
that's
as,
what I'm saying.
Was it as intense?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it feels like every group that comes along eventually it gets into that. And
oh,
then
it gets
that's
into that. I'm
like,
sure the Bieber child.
Beavers and
the Bieber
whatever
child.
They call right. themselves.
Just the Beliebers.
He got booed.
Yeah, he's kind
that's
of on the way.
It's about
kind of
well, he's
way
on his
down.
Way out, but those the girls who like him, I mean, that's where they're at.
But
that's
the thing
what I've
is,
heard from my coworkers who have kids. Their daughters
yeah,
are all about it.
They're all about it. But when the next guy would see those girls will get older.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next guy will come along for the new kids, the kids that are that age, no pun intended, new kids,
right.
But you know, the kids that are that age, the new guy will come up. And,
yeah.
Well, the Jonas Brothers were a big deal.
They were.
5-6 years ago.
And now they're barely remembered.
The one guy's got a reality show on.
Did you guys hear
Eve?
That Hansen came out with a beer last week, and it's called Hops?
Yes.
God, I wish I was joking, but that's like the
no,
funniest.
I was
going to
say, Lauren, how's that comedy thing working out?
That's
but that's
like,
a real thing.
That's,
okay.
It's
that's
a real thing.
Oh, and that was like the funniest. I have a friend
it
who loves
like
Hansen, and I found it out on
wow,
my friend's
okay.
birthday, and I was like, they made you a birthday present. My God, this is so nice of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I every time I hear that,
Corey,
I laugh.
You have marching orders for the next show. Show up
so
with the six-pack of Hops.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Lauren, you can come back and have one if you want.
Hops.
We'll listen to some Hansen.
Yeah,
and we'll
put Hansen on.
I can't even. Like, I was not a fan, like a Hansen fan. I had a Now One, and I think that had a Hanson song on it, and that was the most Hanson that I listened to.
You were too old.
I was too into NSYNC. I wasn't about to cheat on Justin Timberlake.
I didn't realize.
And let me just say, I attached my cart to the right horse, because who's still a sexy-ass motherfucker? Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
I jumped on that horse as soon as I saw that at the station.
Oh, wow.
So you're telling me you weren't a 98 Degrees fan?
I was not a big 98 Degrees fan. You should look at...
What happened to O-Town? Was anybody into O-Town?
I don't think anyone was into O-Town.
Well, they're running the new roller coaster at Cedar Point. The guys from O-Town, they're there. If you want to see them. Yeah,
you know, 98 Degrees is going to be on the Today Show tomorrow morning, or they're going to on Friday.
Are they really?
Yeah, 98 Degrees and New Kids on the Block, and 98 Degrees, New Kids on the Block, and Boys to Men are going on a tour together this summer.
Well, that
That's a thing.
Are they taking tickets for the Demon Drop?
They got rid of the Demon Drop.
Yeah,
right?
They're on the Power Tower.
Yeah.
They got rid of the Demon Drop.
Yeah, the Demon Drop. Well, the Power Tower is the same thing. It's just way bigger.
You get to go both ways, both up and down.
Yeah, we heard it. Come on.
Damn it.
You're going both ways.
Well, it was Cedar Point. Whenever I date guys, I take them to Cedar Point. And there was, that's their big test.
When I was dating a comedian,
it was Cedar Point was a trip, man. He kept saying, you know, I haven't been here in years, and he screamed like a child on all the rides, and it was amazing.
Did his butt fit into the rides?
Yes.
Okay, we're just zeroing out.
Wasn't Ken Tucker.
Class out which guy was this?
It was.
There's a guy we know it wasn't Ken. All right.
It was such. I mean, it's always a fun trip, but he made that extra fun. We did shtick on the Power Tower. It's why I remember this. We're sitting there. You're waiting. You sit there, and they raise it a little ways up before it shoots you up really fast. And we're sitting there facing the crowd because we were such a couple of fucking hams. We're like, hey, you think it's gonna go now to the crowd below us?
Right.
You guys think it's gonna go now? Is it gonna go now? Oh no, we're so scared. Is it gonna go now? And that went on for like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
The crowd was like,
were they annoyed with you?
Some of them were laughing. So just because somebody looked at us, we just kept going.
Did you do the log flume thing where they take your picture at the bottom of the?
No, we didn't.
They take your picture at all those things.
That was
different when I went back. They have cameras.
I always
everywhere.
Pop my top. That's my move.
Oh, you do.
I just flash them a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they actually
wouldn't sell someone a picture when my sister and I went because I guess. I still don't know what it was, but I guess the person said that whatever symbol they held up was sign language for vagina, so they had to take out the picture.
Was it this? Was it that?
No,
what do you think it was, Corey?
I think it was this guy. I think that's sign language for vagina.
That's like Jay-Z or Diamond Dallas Page.
Right. I don't think it was Diamond Dallas Page.
No, but that's what Jay-Z the girl at the counter, I was trying to buy my picture with my sister, and then this girl comes up to me and goes,
if you touch your index fingers together and your thumbs with your palms facing out. That's
Google it right now. You've got
what
your computer.
What vagina
open.
Looks like that.
Google it right now and Google what is vagina in sign language.
I'm into really big vaginas. That's what that means.
Hold on,
let
me get off the Frankenmuth page.
Yeah, get off the Frankenmuth
but
page.
But the girl behind the counter said, because they have to censor everything.
Yeah, yeah,
they're not going to show people flipping the bird.
Yeah,
they're not going to show boobs.
What percentage of people whip their tits out on that thing?
Apparently enough that they have to do it.
Yeah, by the way, I saw this and I don't know. I don't think it's.
Is it 20%? Do we do the math?
There's some. Lauren, tell us, how often do you whip yours out on the rides?
I've never intentionally whipped a tit out.
No.
One might have popped out.
Sometimes
like,
the rides are real fast.
Gravity just takes over.
There was actually one time, though, because the G-forces and things that make stuff float, my friend had a water bottle and it flew through all the pictures because it's flying through the air. And then we were talking to the people that do the picture stuff and they showed us a couple of pictures. Apparently, like every other month, someone gets hit in the face with a bird.
Okay, yeah.
On a roller coaster.
Yeah, I can see
like
that.
While the picture is being taken.
Yeah, because they do have that.
That sounds horrifying.
They have their private stash of photos. I saw some of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they have guys doing wacky. Like one guy was like reading the newspaper.
This is a tremendous Google image search, by the way.
Of what?
I put in the
vagina hand sign. I hate to think what came up.
But they
have their private stash. Like one guy was putting eye drops in. Guys get very elaborate with what they're doing. Like I think there was one, guys were playing Jenga.
That's great.
Yeah, guys, like
that's some
guys,
good shit right
like,
there.
They do it just for
that's
the camera.
That's some really good foresight right
like,
there.
Yeah,
I don't have that much foresight.
They get all crazy.
Best case scenario, I'm like grabbing my sister's face and pushing her to the side.
So the pictures, they've really.
I'm a dick.
The picture taking technology has changed now at the amusement park.
Yeah,
all right.
They take your picture every minute. and there's a million opportunities to buy stuff. And,
there are.
Yeah.
How many guys ever just jerk off on that log flume?
They
listen to Lauren Yahalik's voice.
I think
voice.
Once.
They're going to listen. They're going to download this podcast.
And,
and they're just going to go on all the roller coasters and pretend I'm there with
spank
them.
It. I'm going to let one
Who's
fly on the way down.
Who's the sarcastic girl? Oh.
Everyone's going to get wet anyway. What's the difference?
I do wonder how many people have done that.
I'm
That's
sure
a good question.
I'm sure it's people like I was once.
What, they must have a code for it. Like the security guys
go, the,
we got a 426 on the.
I interviewed a
Millennium Force 426. Millennium Force 426.
I once was on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
With a porn star. Imagine where that would have happened. I was on a Ferris wheel with a porn star.
It's a weird life you live.
Yeah, I know. And she offered me.
I have no
she
idea.
She offered
that could
to
have
perform
happened.
Services. In the
oh, this was
wheel.
At the. This okay.
This, I turned it down. I go, you know,
was
I'm
at
not.
The gathering?
This yeah,
at
the gathering.
believe it or not,
that's not even. And, that's not even America.
That's not
that's
even.
Like, I don't even know where
even
you are.
Count. Even
that's
if
like
that would have happened,
that's
yeah,
like some
that's
other,
another dimension.
It's another continent.
It wouldn't have been. But it
even,
was that. It
even,
was that girl that I could have. Remember the girl
you,
we talked about her in the past.
Yeah,
Jade Jolie.
When you're in the sovereign,
there's a Google search.
When you're in the sovereign juggalo,
Jade Jolie.
Oh boy, I don't even want to. There's a lady.
Yeah, Lauren, you might want to turn away. But yeah,
see what we come up with there.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, let's move on. Next, okay. What else is going on?
Is there?
She's like trying not to look, and then she's looking.
Is there a tranny? Kinda, is there a tranny, Jade Jolie?
I don't. I this one was not a tranny.
This is a tranny.
No, there's no try. Was the Corey? Are you?
Come here.
Are
come
you
here.
Accusing me?
Come here.
I know you know. And there's a million pictures of Jade. She's a famous porn star.
Is that not a transvestite?
No, I don't think it is.
What? Okay, that's not Jade.
That's a transvestite.
Oh,
that is not.
That's one of like on RuPaul's. Drag show, there's a Jade.
Nothing gay about that you
no,
know
no,
was on RuPaul's
no,
drag show.
No, because
I like RuPaul's drag race. Don't hate.
Yeah.
So there must be more than one Jade Jolie.
Safe search on?
Is this Jade Jolie?
He probably has safe
search.
That's
Jade Jolie.
That's the one you're
That's
referring
the lady.
To.
That's the lady.
Oh, congratulations.
No, I didn't do anything
the
with
first
her.
20 pictures are a tranny.
Yeah, that is weird. I think Jade Jolie got her name jacked by. No pun intended. But anyway, let's move on.
Keeping it classy, gents.
I'm just saying that was awful.
Well, we started with a blowjob story, so I think we're moving right along.
I think we're doing fine. So anyway, what do we want to do next? Corey, I wanted you to tell this story because Corey lived out, I think, one of his lifelong dreams. he got to see his one of his heroes. Let's be honest. A hero, right? I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
A hero, a musical hero, a man that you've looked up to, that you've been a fan of for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know who you thought
sure
I was talking about.
Wasn't sure which story
you were going for, yeah. No, I wasn't talking about Kent Tucker. I was talking about... Anyway, so you go. Corey was, you know, because we called you. You were on your trip to Seattle.
Okay.
I'm just setting up, and then I'll let you take it.
Sure.
He's on his trip to Seattle. He has to fly home after driving cross-country, moving... show attorney now Jerusalem.
Yes,
Rose
I've
to
spent a week in a car with a Jew.
Yeah.
There's also a gay porn star named Jade.
Okay. I can,
oh,
I
it's, oh
you.
Actually, it's the tranny.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense then.
Okay.
Yeah, you can probably close
right,
that
I'm
up.
Close
window.
That all up.
But
all
Corey
right.
flies home on the day. He flies in cross country. Flies home to see his idol, Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, who I don't know has toured... In a long, long time.
No, not...
In many, many years.
Well, you know, he did some shows, so...
So, anyway, so he comes out...
For years, the Monkees toured with Mickey, Davey, and Peter.
Yes.
And they
three
did...
Three of the four Monkees.
They did, you know, periodic revivals, and then Mike did a couple... He did, like, 8 or 9 shows in, like, 97.
Sure.
With the Monkees.
Yeah.
Mike just never goes out, and he never did the Monkee shows.
He's largely...
until Davey died, and then suddenly he started touring with the Monkees.
Yeah, then he did Monkee shows.
And then he came solo,
and
I said, well,
and for the record,
there.
Mike was one of my assholes of the year last year when we did our review.
It's true.
For that reason. He could have been in the Monkees with Davey, but he was like, fuck those guys. And then Davey died, then he went out and did the Monkees. Right after Davey died. It's like,
and
what
I
a dick.
I think we figured out that he just didn't get along with Davey.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say. But
okay.
Doesn't that seem like
I think
just
the,
did
fair
not
enough. The logical conclusion is that he and Davey didn't
So I had him on my assholes of the year. Corey, as a life... And I'm a Monkees fan, and I like Mike Nesmith.
Sure.
You were like, you're wrong. Mike Nesmith is a great guy. He's a talented guy, and you can't knock him, and he does all this.
Well,
so Corey gets to see Mike Nesmith in an intimate venue, like a 200-seat venue.
Well, people, you know, they always, you know,
Fly home from Seattle.
They always slag the Monkees as being the Prefab Four, and, you know, they were just a fake band, and they didn't even play their own instruments, which, by the way, almost no bands at the time played their own instruments in the mid-60s. They all had studio musicians who played. Even the Beach Boys, after about their first four albums, started, you know, using only studio musicians.
Yeah, a lot of those bands did that, but, you know.
You know, Glenn Campbell was a big studio guitar player. Anyway, and Mike was, of course, Mike was the songwriter. Mm-hmm. He had already had a songwriting career before he was a Monkey. He, you know, had hits for Linda Ronstadt and the Stone Ponies. Anyway, Mike has always had the music pedigree. So I go to this show. I'm going to see Mike Nesmith solo. This is cool. He never tours. And he starts playing. And he played Papa Jean's Blues, which is a Monkees tune.
All right.
I'm excited, happy. It's pretty awesome. He's got a little combo. He's got a guy on, he's got a drummer. He's got a bass player. He's got a guy on pedal steel.
Sure.
And he's got a keyboard player.
Yeah.
And Mike's playing acoustic guitar himself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Papa Jean's Blues, cool. Okay. Does a couple other songs you might recognize.
Sure. Did he do this one? Did he not?
They didn't do Listen to the Band.
Okay, but I'm going to let this play in the background. Yeah. And tell you, so this is a really good Monkees tune. Right. I believe Mike wrote this.
Yeah.
It's a great song. Okay, so.
Anyway, great song. Lauren's bored out of her mind.
That's okay.
And about the third song, a dawning came. And there were, like, Nesmith super fans.
There was a big line. I was at the line.
Sold out. It was a packed show. Yeah. Tickets were not cheap.
Yeah.
They were, like, you know, expensive tickets. And it was jam-packed, and there were, like, Nesmith super fans. And I was kind of, like, all these people had Monkey stuff to sign.
Yeah.
A guy brought the fucking Monkey Mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. A guy had the goddamn Monkey Mobile. You know,
people dress like the Monkees? Were there a lot of, like, dress-up fans?
Well, maybe. They dressed up at something. I don't know. But, yeah, there it is. There's the Monkey Mobile.
Wow. That is impressive.
Yeah, guy had the fucking
Monkees. That is a mobile.
So anyway, I'm watching the show, and about four songs into it, it just occurs to me.
Yeah.
This fucking sucks. This show's terrible.
And what sucked about it exactly?
The production.
Yeah. The arrangement, maybe.
Well, there were two factors that sucked.
Okay.
Every fucking song, Mike stopped and talked to the audience. Because they had to, like, retune every time.
Oh.
And so, like, between every song, he's, like, stopping and talking. But he didn't just stop and talk. He would, like, tell a story.
Mike Nesmith's storyteller.
And his stories were the most fatuous. It was, like, it'd be, like, well, he'd do, like, a poem about the song.
Yeah.
Be, like, he looks at her across the table.
Listen to the band.
In Paris, Texas, on a dry autumn day. The wind's howling.
I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah. And he did it in an old man slow way like that, you know. And he looks at her with a look that says, I cannot love you the way that I once did. And she blinks at him.
I would get up and piss between every song just to go for a walk.
And so he does this, the fucking setup of every song. And then they play the song, and the keyboard player has got all these effects and layers.
Good.
And then they were like putting, there was like an electronic drum pedal. Like, the, you know what I mean? Like the drummer had like an effects pedal.
Mm.
You know, the shit that like, you know. Yeah, and it just sounded like Monkey garbage.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, not.
Now, did you. But did people walk out? Were people like.
No, they're all like, woo, Mike, get him! Woo! And I'm like, this sounds like Jimmy Buffett is like face fucking Dave
Koz. So you think.
It sounded awful.
You think people liked it and you hated it?
I wanted to hear it sound like
this. Yeah, you wanted to hear it sound like the classic.
Like.
A Monkey arrangement. But see, that's why he's a dick, because he doesn't understand his audience. And he doesn't understand all he had to do was go do the Monkees, could have made $1 billion.
And he played maybe three Monkey songs.
Okay.
Now, I didn't expect him to sit up there and do Daydream Believer and shit.
Right, yeah.
I figured he'd do the stuff he wrote.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's plenty of songs he wrote that the Monkees did.
Yeah.
But instead, he does a lot of his solo stuff.
Okay.
And his early solo stuff I like, too. And then he starts getting into this, like, mid-70s shit that nobody likes. You know, like his 1978 album where he's on the beach jerking off. And I just, like, I couldn't believe I'd wasted that much money on the Mike Nesmith show.
Well, I feel bad for
it. It's a bummer when you went to the NSYNC reunion show.
Justin Timberlake
for the 98
solo.
Degrees show, and it just sounded terrible.
Yeah. I would be so upset if like Joey Fatone didn't show up for the NSYNC reunion show. Yeah.
Right.
But then as soon as Lance dies, he's back, because apparently Joey's a big something.
Joey had to do the cooking segment on Rachel Ray that day. And,
right, he was busy. He was busy.
He's a big, what does he host? What is his
The one of the singing bees or one of those?
One of those reality shows
Joey's still doing something.
He's like a personality.
So I was expecting more of a stripped down kind of a Mike Nesmith, famous for like country rock.
Sure.
So I thought I'd get that. Instead, I got this really overproduced pedal.
That's a disappointment.
And his pedal steel player was a Scruggs.
Oh, okay.
Like one of the grandkids Lester Flatt.
Yeah,
Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs.
Earl Scruggs, yeah.
Who were like, they did the Beverly Hillbillys song, but they're like, they did the music to Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would appreciate that. I like a little bluegrass now and then.
Yeah,
I might, you know, I'm kind of like some of the girls on Lauren's roller derby team. I might might dabble.
Charming as hell.
No, I might dabble in some bluegrass,
but
I might not be a full time bluegrass.
He's trying to tie it all together.
It's not going well.
Yeah,
but by a bunch of girls 20, on my team, you mean awesome?
20%. And then the subset of that 20%, like 7%, are the dabblers.
All right,
right.
He doesn't know.
I don't know. I don't have the pie chart with me.
She's not fessing up.
I don't have a pie chart on.
Well, sub numbers in to break down the 20%?
We probably did.
Okay, good. All right.
It was a late night at the bar. It was someone's birthday. Things were happening.
Well, the other thing, and when you determine, you know, when you start counting lesbians, you then have to count tops and bottoms. You know,
No, you don't.
Right. Lesbians aren't tops and bottoms.
They are.
No.
A little bit.
If they strap one on, maybe, but
not a thing.
No, there's always
more. You are making...
Yeah, I agree.
Where do you get your... just because you watch a lot of porn doesn't mean you're a lesbian expert, no, Corey.
Corey Hall, not a lesbian expert.
Okay, I'm going to... Look, I'm going to say...
You should get a card, a business card. And says,
I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I'm sure that... Look, there's plenty of people who are more versed in the field than I am.
And just because you have Wikipedia open about lesbians on your computer right now.
No, we're looking at roller derby, for Christ's sakes. Speaking of lesbians, what I'm saying is... Yeah.
I don't even know where that stereotype came from.
No, there's always... There's more of a femme and a butch in lesbian relationships. Maybe not top and bottom.
You know...
There's usually one girl... And if you look at a lot of lesbian couples...
There's
the one girl who's...
I've seen that.
...prettier.
Sometimes.
Who's more feminine.
Sure.
Then there's the other one that looks, you know,
depends,
like Katie Lang.
Sure.
You know, there's the knuckle buster.
Can I tell you this? What? Here's a compliment I got once.
Look like a lesbian?
No, well... Wait for it. It's good. It's good. I met this girl... And I thought this girl was cute. I didn't realize she was a lesbian.
Right.
And she told me as the evening went on.
Yeah.
You know, Joel, I like you and you're attractive. Mm-hmm. And if you were a girl, I'd sleep with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
Well, that is a nice. Yeah.
That was nice.
There was a
that's the best way to strike out right there. That's
in my early stand-up days, I had a friend that was a lesbian comedian.
Yeah.
And she was doing, like, we all knew she was a lesbian, but she was kind of doing straight material.
Yeah.
Or she would talk about dating guys and stuff in her act, and most of us knew she was lesbian, and some people didn't. Mm-hmm. There were some comics that didn't get it.
The guys didn't figure
it
out.
Yeah, and they'd kind of hit on her.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we were hanging out at some open mic, and the late, great Mark Goldberg was like, "No, if you did like guys, who would you date?" And there were like
that matters at that point.
I know. And there were like three or four.
We're gonna bang a guy.
I think Chris Oxy was there. I'm dropping names that one gets.
No one knows these guys.
And there were like, you know, three or four of us. And she's like, "Well, you know, actually probably Corey, because he's like a cool guy, and like I could see like hanging out with him." And the other guys were appalled. They were just like, "What do you mean, Corey? What are you talking about? Bullshit!" And I'm like, "You guys are so." Wound up about a girl who's not
like
you
care,
ever.
You're not getting laid either.
No,
they
I'm not getting it.
Made no difference.
She just said that I was nicer to her, is what she said, which is shocking. I know I am nice to some people, and those people are, you know, they're freaked out.
Sure.
Because everybody else, I'm a complete asshole to.
Well,
but, makes everybody nervous.
Yeah, it does. I've generally been pretty nice to you, right?
Yeah,
I've never really
generally
on you. Yeah.
Give or take.
Generally. There's still time.
I don't remember.
The show's not over yet.
I don't remember being explicitly mean to Lauren at any point. But
no, I don't know.
No, and you know why? Because you're cool.
There's something to be said for that.
See, you know, I work on a system where people earn it.
Thank right? you for saying that I've earned it.
I'm saying that, but I'm saying I think you're pretty funny, and you're cool, and you get it. You're not a load like so many people are. They're just complete jerks. So I mean, you know what I mean. You got to earn a little respect.
Sure.
Okay. Other people operate under this like
Corey didn't like me when I met him.
I'm going to be nice to everybody by default, and then. Behind their backs, talk about what dicks they are.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite direction where I'm just an asshole omnidirectionally, and then if you're cool, I'm nice to you.
I won you over. I know why you liked me.
Did you?
I know. I think after 15 years, I think I can safely say
maybe
that I've won you over. Because you would come up, your move, maybe it's not so much now. Corey's move is he'll go up to people and just start dumping on the other guy. Not the guy he's talking to, but he'll dump on a third guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey liked that I would join him in dumping on guys, and that's how I earned his.
You mean
respect.
I'd walk up and
you would
and
walk up and talk.
Go look at the ass on Ken Tucker.
No, you just brought right. the guy, not a right. Ken Tucker, but you walked up to me. I remember this, and you were like, "Mark Goldberg was getting ready to hit the stage," uh-huh. And I think I just met you for the first time, or it was the first time we were talking, and you go, "Yeah, get ready for the megaton. It's going to be like Hiroshima in here in 10 seconds." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And it was like, "This guy, you don't understand what it's going to be in here." I'm telling you, you better duck. You better put your head between your legs. Because this guy was getting up, and he had this reputation of not being very funny. And the guy was going up to bomb.
It was a well-earned reputation.
And then eventually I joined you when I got a little... But not on that night, but later I had the nerve to sort of join you in your bashing of people.
Well, so, I was always under the impression that was how comedy worked.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was always under the impression, like, everything I ever listened to or liked... Like the Howard Stern show or any of this kind of stuff, you know, guys would goof on each other.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I thought comedy was going to be about.
Yeah.
And it kind of was when I started. Like, and I think that's, I enjoy that. To me, busting each other's balls.
Right.
I got
my balls busted hard by you and not even the worst from you, from other guys.
Right.
You know, guys like PJ and Marlon and these guys.
Yeah, I held off
back
on
in the
you
day.
A little bit.
Yeah, you weren't a bad guy. You, I liked. There were guys I, you know.
Oh no, and there's
Jay Kim is a guy I still hate.
I think what frustrates me now about new guys that are getting into open mic.
Yeah.
They don't get that. Like, there's a difference between being an outright dick to you.
Yeah.
And just being a prick. A prick won't even talk to you. I had guys who wouldn't even like acknowledge you were there,
like a Bill Thomas or something. May you rest in peace.
I talked to Bill, but
Bill was a dick like that. I remember Bill being like that to me. I was like, you know, you're just a dick.
That to me is the dick move, and they'll just kind of be like, well, whatever, and just dismiss you.
Yeah.
I would kind of goof on you and make jokes, and it just some people don't get that. And now,
for all that shit, I think it's funny that there's all this. I mean. People go to all these comedy shows. The comedians, we all joke amongst each other. The person that my family remembers the most from any comedy show I've ever done was this one time at Ridley's open mic. Some guy came in and called himself Buttcake.
Yeah.
I still don't know what his actual name was. Yeah. Called himself Buttcake. I don't remember any of his jokes except for the fact that when no one laughed at his jokes, he just made monkey noises and jumped around the stage like a monkey. This was a guy probably in his 40s.
Yeah.
And every time something didn't land, he would just make monkey noises and jump across the stage. Right. And my
Book
family
him for the
still
show,
asks,
Corey, if you...
what happened to Buttcake?
Yeah, if you can find
like,
him.
He's, like, he was like a staple
Bring
in the comedy
radio,
scene. Like he's some sort of evil genius.
And
this was probably 4 years ago when everyone's like, no, Buttcake, he's still here, right?
And
like, I don't know even like...
Buttcake did one show.
Buttcake did that one show that one time. And my family
still
thinks
impression.
He's... the funniest person they've ever seen, mostly because him bombing was like that awkward silence between the joke and the monkey noises was so golden for
that's
them.
That's why I hate those guys.
Yeah.
I hate guys like that at open mics. Here was a gentleman that I saw at an open mic not that long ago who went up in a thong.
He went up in, I can barely see it from here.
It's a fat, pasty white man.
I see enough. It's overexposed, believe it or not.
And I went, the no guy went up and it died. And he went up trying to do his act while he went up, took his clothes off on stage and was wearing, and as Samantha Rager said, though, she said, people aren't laughing because he's so formal. He was wearing a tuxedo, tuxedo thong or whatever. And the guy gets up and just dies 1,000 deaths. Yeah. And he walked backstage, and I was like, I turned to him like, Wow, that was probably the worst thing I've seen in like 15 years of comedy. And the guy looked at me like, what are you fucking talking about? Like,
he was very proud.
You just didn't get that you just went up on stage and took your pants off, well, and like people didn't like that? They didn't respond to that?
Part of the thing in comedy is when the way you can win people over is when people bust your balls or when people make cracks that you sort of take it. You can take it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could always take criticism well. I think people that made fun of me, it really didn't bother me. It was sort of like, look, I want to do this and I don't really care what you say and, you know, whatever. And I could give it back to people. I didn't always, but when the time came for that, I proved I could bust balls right alongside Corey and sort of...
Did test people for that.
Oh, I think
and,
you do.
And, you know.
I think you still do.
I do, yeah.
And I think, you know. And Lauren probably hasn't much easier because she's pretty and guys are just asking her out. And
Lauren's cool, though.
It's she is cool. Like, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's that reverse affirmative action with female comedians, though, where if I call into the open mic and I want to get on next week, well, we don't have a girl yet. Okay, cool. Okay. I'll take it. I'll take any stage time I can get. Sure. If you give it to me because I'm a girl, that's fine. I'll get up there and I'll be funny as hell.
Yeah.
But
well, it's and I've said this to every woman I've met who's done stand-up as an open micer. Just stick with it.
Yeah.
Just stick around because that's exactly the case. There aren't enough women.
Yeah, there aren't.
And so when there is a woman and there's a woman who's competent and can do a couple minutes, good. You know, and there's so many girls who come in and do stand up for like 2 months and get it out of their system and disappear.
Oh, God.
You've been around for a while and you're stuck with it. And that's it's good. I keep telling them, stick with it. There's opportunities.
Yeah,
there's
but I think there's other stuff that makes girls quit because it's just too much of. It's too much of, you know, getting hit on, and it's too much of, like, all that stuff. I'm not speaking for you.
Right, no, I can understand that.
You can speak for yourself, but, you know, I feel like with women, it's just so much more of other stuff, like, nonsense that is, like...
Right. Well, I think that it's, I mean, not to compare everything in my life to Derby, but it's similar in that people go to stand-up for different reasons.
Yeah.
Some people are doing it because somebody one time said they were funny.
Yeah.
And they said they should do stand-up. And it's those same people who maybe they invite a bunch of their friends to the open mic show and their friends think it's hilarious and they come back the next week. Their friends aren't there and no one laughs. And they're like, what the fuck? This crowd sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that you need to figure out how to write jokes instead of just telling inside joke stories to your friends. I mean, you could be a really funny person. You just have to kind of figure out
how to work that crowd. With it. But I feel like I think that women get out of it just because of all that other stuff. You know, it's one thing to be a guy and, you know, have to get your balls busted by guys.
Right.
That's another thing when guys are, you know.
Right.
Corey, if guys were trying to make out with you every second, you wouldn't have probably lasted. You know what I'm saying? If PJ was trying to grab you and grab your ass and all kinds of stuff.
I don't want to undervalue how hard it is for a woman to go through comedy. But I always look at it like, wow, somebody's hitting on you.
Yeah.
You'd be
the
joy I would have had if like every girl hit on me in my life.
Yeah.
What a joy. Every day I'd be like fucking bluebirds, like cartoon bluebirds.
That's why you join a dating website, man. You don't even need people to hit on you in person. Just if you get a message every day. Small victories.
But look at the losers in comedy. Look at these guys though. I mean, just imagine in your mind some of these guys hanging around.
I don't wish that on any woman. I don't wish.
They're good guys. I see them more as my like. I see most of them as just like they're my friends. I used to think of Ricardo Flanagan, our good friend, who's a large black man comedian. When he and I and like some comedians would walk places, I would think of myself as he was my bodyguard, like I was Britney Spears.
Oh, okay.
Except one day we had a long conversation of me, him, and a bunch of other comedians. How he gets very distracted by any set of tits anywhere. So basically, he would be my bodyguard until somebody distracted him with some boobs, and then Operation Kill Lauren is in full effect.
Now,
and it's completely useless.
I would say that Ricardo Flanagan is a world renowned at. Connoisseur of big asses.
That's you.
So, was that a problem for you? Did you have to, like, you know...
He pretended he wasn't into the big ass, except until his roast when he got drunk and started talking about my ass in front of the entire crowd. That was a good night.
All right. Ricardo has a very advanced case of black assism. There's a black man.
I don't even know who Ricardo is on this show.
He's
a guy who.
Ricardo's a funny guy. He's a funny guy.
If you Google him, you'll find plenty of funny, funny things.
He's just moving. He moved out of town.
Okay.
He's a very funny guy we've worked with, but I will say this. He has a really serious, like, condition of black man ass bias. Like, right? Like, black men have that butt thing that really... That's, I mean,
true. There are, yeah.
I've got a target demographic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't enjoy... I enjoy a multitude of asses.
Sure.
I enjoy a variety of asses.
Yes.
I'm a well-known fan of curvy women.
Sure.
So that generally comes with a big butt. But... Ricardo's got this, like, severe... Okay,
yeah.
He posted...
You would date a girl with no ass if she was, in other ways...
I have.
You're married now, but...
Yeah.
I have, not, and it's not a requirement.
As soon as the papers come in, I'll
but
do it
the,
again.
The big ass
what I'm
is
saying
not a turn-off.
But... No, no. I'm saying there's there could be a size ass... There could be an ass limit for me.
Sure, there could be a limit.
There,
yeah,
could
absolutely.
There could be a throwback limit.
Yeah.
But it's not... Whereas black men, it's like a fixation... And Ricardo said something, and I know he's saying it in jest,
yeah.
But it was perhaps the most alarming case of black man big ass bias I've ever heard, in which he said, Kate Upton ain't that hot because she ain't got that ass.
Yeah, he said that.
And he said this on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was appalled. I was shocked for all of womanhood. I stood up
yeah.
to defend womanhood. Kate Upton? That's not hot.
But don't you
what
think
do you gotta do?
But don't you think it's sort of he's trying to ingratiate himself to him by saying, "Hey, see that hottest woman in the world? She's not that hot." He could be doing that.
No,
too.
But these fucking
reverse psychology.
These fucking black comics are gonna jerk off all over Rihanna, and I'm gonna hear about how hot fucking Beyonce is.
Well,
all day,
listen,
I mean, in all fairness, he does jerk off all over. What's her face? Paula Deen. So it's fine.
Is that, yeah, big ass. Exactly. Because. Right, Paula Deen, huge butter-filled
he's
ass.
He's really into that.
Yeah.
I'm just
he's
saying,
really into that shit.
Black men have an ass bias that is really remarkable. It blinds them sometimes. It's like they have two big butt cheeks on their face.
Some guys
see.
Do, but that's their thing. But that's listen, thing. That's...
Kate Upton's not hot.
I have
what
been shouted out at gas stations.
Yeah, guys, little black guys, though.
Oh, for
all
my
black
ass.
Guys.
They do that, don't they?
I've just had dad ass shouted at me from across the parking.
That's a thing. They'll just say dad ass.
Dad ass.
Now, would you like that to change up and maybe a white guy yells that once in a while? Or
no, I'd be fine.
Prefer if nobody yells.
You know, I'd be okay not being yelled at.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not being yelled at by strangers.
Next time I see
you
at the gas station, I'll make sure to volunteer.
One time I was at a gas station and I had a guy shout. Like I was
imagine white guys walking around. That ass. That's terrific.
They don't even say
that derriere.
No, I don't have that yelled at me. I've had white guys will just come up and say, "Hey, you look like you like video games." I'm like, that's just a stereotype.
That's a very pleasant round dumper you have there, Lauren Hogg. And I just
well,
like
there was a guy that I was at a gas station. A guy was walking by, and I was just in my head pumping gas because. I'm not a fucking Disney character. I'm not smiling constantly. And this guy just walks by and goes, "Shouty, why are you so mean?"
Why are? I've been wondering the answer to that question. What's like, why?
What am I? Am I not kicking any puppies right now? How
there's
do you know I'm a mean person?
There's a certain thing about Detroit brothers that they're having like a continual conversation with the world.
Yes.
Like white people will just move around their day and pretend you don't exist. And just tunnel vision.
Right.
You go, you know, Birmingham, they might not even know, unless you're on fire. And even then,
yeah.
they'll just pause and go, that man's on fire.
Yeah.
They won't, like, interact with you. Whereas, like black guys in the hood will be walking around like, "What's up, girl? How you doing? What up? Hey, man, look at my man in the T-shirt." It's like a conversation
oh, yeah.
all day with everybody.
Yeah. Well, maybe guys feel like certain guys, and I don't say black guys or white guys, that if they holler at every girl, let's say
they're just taking
you
the
holler,
gonna
like,
be a,
it's
they
a shotgun
5% return
well,
rate.
If one in 100, if you yell at 100 girls a day.
Joel was trying to do a card trick on the last show, and he was like, "Is this card a red or a black?"
Well, Teddy was a dick.
And John just goes, every time he just guessed black. Because
yeah.
he was just playing the 50-50 odds.
Right.
And I think that's what brothers do at the
well,
gas station.
It's,
they just yell at every girl.
Yeah, if you yell at every girl, it might work.
But then
at
if
some
you
point.
Shoot him down, you're a stuck up bitch. I had a dude who had my phone number, and I told him I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And then I laughed at him for a little while because he said he wanted to rip through my drawers.
Oh.
Now what is a now what is what would it take? What would be a good effective sales pitch? The next time you're at Mobile,
yeah. What would you like to
some
hear?
Unleaded,
what would be a compliment
what,
that would
if you know Carlos or you know.
Yeah.
Darius rolled up
yeah.
How would you? What would lead to Frankenmuth weekend?
Yeah.
What do you want to hear shouted
out of an El Camino window?
Anything someone could say to me at a gas station.
There's nothing that would mean anything. Nothing.
You know what? I'm taking off my pants with you tonight, bro.
What if I drove? I'm driving by.
Wouldn't it be amazing if there was a guy that had the one line that you were
right.
Like, shit.
Well, every time I hear something like that, the disappointing thing that someone pointed out to me is the reason they say these things is because at some point someone was like, that's crazy. And they were like, you're so crazy. Yeah. And then it worked.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst part of it.
Maybe.
One time somebody texted me, let me rip through them draws. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But at some point some girl was like, yeah, I want you to rip through my panties. Shred them panties. Like, what? No.
So if a guy drives by and goes, hey, you're really funny and talented. Nothing. That would not get a reaction.
I would be immediately skeptical of anyone who compliments me. I am an immediate skeptic of, because there must be something
wrong
with
them. There's just nothing. There's no
way they're well-adjusted.
There's no compliment.
If they're complimenting me.
I mean, okay, now, obviously not shouted out while you're, you know, in line at the gas station. That's not going to work. But somebody has used lines that have worked on you, right?
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take.
But if you're into
it's
the guy anyway.
A line.
But if you're into a guy,
you know,
can say anything. That's the way it works with girls.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm going to echo the sentiment of my dark-skinned friend, and I will say, damn, Shorty, why are you so angry? You really are a tough nut to crack.
I am.
Really,
no, she's all right.
I'm an asshole.
You know.
I'm kidding.
I'm a huge asshole.
Whatever.
Well, if you have a big butt, those probably go hand in hand.
It's probably like that. It's probably
Thank you.
Is that it? Is that what it looks like?
Callbacks!
We're doing the hand symbol for vagina. For those of you not... What are you pulling?
Lauren, go ahead. I'm just taking a picture.
Oh, okay.
You can just flash the symbol for me.
Oh, the big... Yeah, we might have to put that on JewelRadio.net.
It was better when you were doing the
we'll
big one.
We'll get it. But you can tell she didn't cooperate for the photo. Because it's that attitude coming back. What did you holler at your lady? What got your wife? You're married now.
Yeah,
You've been married for almost a year.
Come
on.
She kind of
hit on you.
Yeah, I think she
really
kind of
hollered at you.
Well, son of a bitch.
We had a weird situation. We were... I was doing a day of extra work on an independent movie.
Yeah.
And she was the AD.
Okay.
And her job was to, like, wrangle the extras and tell them, like, you know.
Yeah. And you just spent the entire day hitting on her.
I just spent the whole day in the extras, like, pen.
Holding area.
Yeah.
In the holding area, because, like, they used me in two shots.
Yeah.
And so I just spent, like, 5 hours sitting around there, and she just kept coming in, and, you know, I was just doing my shticky fat man, just entertaining everybody.
Right.
In the holding pen, and I think she latched onto me.
And that was it.
I mean,
no line, no, nothing.
There wasn't a specific line.
When you had to go somewhere that wasn't the movie set, who made the first move there? Meaning, like, you're going somewhere aside from...
I think at the end of the shoot, we exchanged numbers.
Okay.
And then we just went to a bar and, you know...
Okay.
See, I'm immediately skeptical of anyone who... Like, I had a thing last year where or 2 years ago when they were filming that Oz movie in Detroit. Zach Braff was coming into the Starbucks that I used to work at every day.
Okay.
And when I was...
And he came in and he said... I will have a mocha latte. And dead ass!
No, there's actually...
I think she wishes he had asked for that.
No, he...
Did he ask for that ass? What did he do? Tell us what he did. I gotta know.
Zach Braff was coming into Starbucks every day for his latte. When I was in high school, I watched Garden State, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so quirky like Natalie Portman. This is my life. And so Zach Braff comes into Starbucks, and I owned all the Scrubs on DVD. I was losing my shit.
Okay.
And but I couldn't externalize that because
season four is where it starts going down.
Yes, right. I only owned 1 through 4. That's why I say I owned all the Scrubs on DVD. But he was coming into Starbucks, and I wasn't really saying anything.
Yeah.
I was just kind of playing it cool. And then one day, one of my other regulars comes in and goes, so, Lauren, how's roller derby going? And I was like, oh, my God, it's so great. We're finally getting to hit. And then Zach Braff goes... Wait, what are you talking about? And I turned and I was like, oh my God, he's engaging me in conversation. What do I do?
Wow, okay.
But then I go, I love Scrubs. I'm talking about roller derby. And I like threw it up like that in one breath because I'm just a suave ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then he continued to talk to me about roller derby and he was passively interested in my life. So from then on, I was the roller derby girl that he would come in and talk to.
Okay.
And then he started... there was one day he was like, I want my hot mocha made by the hot barista. And I was like, I like looked around. There was no one there. I invited him to my first game. And then the day after that, he came in and was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I couldn't come to your thing. I was like, you remembered I had a thing to go to? The fuck is this shit? Then he said, no, but you need to tell me the next time you have one. And I was like, yeah, I'll tell you.
He goes, see where this is going, Corey?
No, seriously, tell me the next time you have one. And I was like, okay, I'll tell you. He goes, no, stalk me. And then I go, that's not going to be nearly as cute when I'm dressed up as a bush making bird sounds outside your apartment. Hey. And then I turned around and walked away. Like, that wasn't the most fucking awkward and horrible thing I could have said to a person.
So cut to the Cedar Point video. You giving Zach Braff a handy on the Tower of Power.
Yeah.
No, he actually ended up coming to my first roller derby game.
Oh, wow.
Took a picture of himself at the bout, tweeted it. And was like, look, I got a PBR in Detroit Roller Derby.
And that was it?
Doing it Detroit. That was it.
That was it.
Fortunately. My ex-boyfriend kept telling me I should have sex with him, but I'm not a star fucker, so I can't do that.
Yeah, you can have sex with him.
I can't do that.
He's hardly a star. You can have sex with him now. It doesn't count.
Well, he had a girlfriend. Because Mike, actually, after he came
point,
to
my... He's
at this point,
money on Kickstarter.
He's like Kickstarter.
He's on Kickstarter.
It's like me and Corey at this point. It's the same thing.
You know... Again, I not having
lady, Corey's on TV
having,
more than Zach.
Not having, I am. I'm on TV every week. Not having lady parts, I'm imagining I would fuck Zach Braff. I would just go.
He would just,
you know,
go,
what I mean, just like for the novelty of it.
Yeah, that was that's what my, maybe it's a dude thing.
Okay, here's the difference.
I think
men
it's
and
a
women.
Dude thing.
Yeah,
it's much harder to fuck a female celebrity.
I think so.
My ex-boyfriend was saying he would have fucked Betty White just for the story.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get involved in
Betty
that
White.
Mess.
Betty White.
Betty White.
Was he going to fuck Betty White? was your boyfriend born in 1932?
As a 27-year-old man. He was like, I would have had sex with Betty White just to tell someone the story.
Really? Just to tell somebody a story about how much lube he had to buy and the...
I know...
How they had to listen to In the Mood.
I know a guy that banged a pretty, like, not super famous, but a well-known, like, female celebrity. Like, a woman that had, like, her own series. She had her own sitcom. And I know this guy that, like, met her at a hotel, and, like, he somehow, like, he had, like, a traffic, like, he hit her car, or she hit his car. She like, backed into his car at a hotel.
Mm. So instead of insurance, he fucked her?
And
that's,
like,
not worth
and then
it.
He said, and then, like, he ended
insurance
up fucking her.
Insurance is expensive.
Her. Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm saying the degree of difficulty on, like, a random barista, like, banging a popular actress is much harder. Zach Braff. I'm not, and no slander on you, the hot girl with the hot coffee. It's very believable.
I was going to meet Mila Kunis to see Bret Michaels at the Taste Fest that year, too.
Oh, you could have fucked Bret Michaels, I guarantee.
I
got
Mila Kunis.
Wow. Yeah, well, there you go.
All right.
If you could do both.
Yeah, if you had that story, you would have been booked much sooner, believe
you
me.
You would have gotten booked on a better show. Believe me.
Because I could have.
I'm just saying, you could get Zach Braff. It'd be a lot harder for me, you know, like.
I had a moment.
Like, Joel and I are like...
I'm trying to tell a story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a moment where I thought I could hit on Mindy Kaling safely. Because I was... No, it's okay. Keep laughing. It's fine. And then this is a comedy show. I was... I did the movie The 5-Year Engagement. Mm-hmm. I'm in there. I'm an extra. I'm in the holding, blah, blah, blah. I do all that. And this movie didn't have, like, a big... It was kind of low budget, so it didn't have a big set. So we're sitting with the stars, literally. Extra holding. Yeah. The stars are sitting there. They have their own table, but everybody is there, okay? Like, everybody was in the scene, like Brian Posehn, Kevin Hart, Mindy Kaling, Emily Blunt. They're all sitting there. What's the guy? Reese Ifans. Mm-hmm. They're all sitting on the set. And they're literally... I could have walked up and talked to any of them at any time. But I'm an extra. I know my place, okay? And I see Mindy Kaling, you know, eating some food. I go, I should hit on that. I should talk to Mindy Kaling. At least tell her I, you know, not that I'm trying to bang Mindy Kaling, but who knows. Then as the day goes on, I go in, I get picked to do my spot. Then I get picked to do a spot in the movie by the director. So now I'm, like, in the movie. So now I figure this is my entree.
Yeah.
I can actually talk to her now because I'm not... That now I'm like, I was down here on the, right. Now I'm like still low, but a little higher. And I go, it might not be the craziest thing to hit on Mindy Kaling. And then I chickened out.
The story doesn't end.
But it was like, I was kind of like, you know, if I talk to her,
well, that's
maybe,
why I was still scared to talk to Zach Braff.
Yeah, I
idolized that shit. And then
I
all
see
the,
that.
Then
but he
should have
made
a
move.
Grande latte. Well, I wasn't. See, I just
but
don't,
let's say he
I,
did.
We don't play that.
You wouldn't have. You wouldn't. If he would have said after Derby, let's go out and have a drink, you wouldn't have gone.
Probably not.
Oh, that's so. I mean, it's not disappointing, but
I just don't.
No,
I can't,
that's not happening.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
You're a classy dame, is what you're telling me.
Justin Timberlake
dame.
Asked you out for a drink after roller derby. What's the answer?
He's married.
Oh.
I'm the worst.
That's it. That's nothing, really.
I am the worst.
There's no celebrity that can impress you. There's
I mean,
nothing.
I would be impressed, but I'm
but
not
that's
just
not...
going to have sex with
well,
the
but it's not sex,
them.
But it's
Channing
the next
Tatum.
Step.
Ryan
too.
Gosling held the door open for me the other day,
oh,
and I almost
goodness.
Peed my pants, but I didn't go to bang him. Eva Mendez was probably somewhere nearby.
Right.
But
see, that's the difference,
you can
though.
Bang him.
You could talk to Ryan Gosling, and he'd be like, chat you up a little bit, I'm sure. I was in an elevator with Angelina Jolie, and I've never been more frightened in my life.
In all fairness, she likes knives. I would be frightened in an elevator with Angelina Jolie, too.
Although you do look at her and you go, she fucked Billy Bob Thornton. So
yeah,
really,
there's something wrong, yeah.
She's not grossed out by anything.
Right.
There's a limit.
But you figure, but I also sort of get into a celebrity's head in a sense.
When you're around someone hot like that,
yeah.
When you're like, Charlize Theron is like 2 weeks older than me.
Yeah.
And we don't look at the same species.
Yeah.
You know, we don't look at we're from the same planet. You realize what a disgusting slob of garbage you are when you're next to
sure.
Angelina Jolie or
but
Ryan
don't
Gosling,
you,
right?
You
really
don't you
like
sort of get into
small.
A celebrity's head and go like, you know, I'm on the road. Here's this random person. Like, don't you feel like you would take advantage of that? Or, you know, at least at some point, you're on a movie set in some strange town. You would grab one of the extras and have sex with them. Don't you feel like that could
if
happen?
I
mean,
male,
I'm sure a lot
celebrity,
of celebrities do
that's
that.
That's sort of my angle.
If I was a male star, yes.
Yeah.
If I was a woman, sure. That seems harder.
But I was going to maybe use the comedy angle on Mindy Kaling and say, hey, I'm a comic, and I had read her book, and I was a legitimate fan.
I think that might also be another reason why there's fewer women in comedy.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's just a weird thing going on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, true. That would be... some places you don't walk at night by yourself.
Yeah.
Cast right. Corridor.
Quickly, I want to review some stuff here.
Oh, God.
I know the show's been going
on
forever.
How long is the show?
It's we're in the ninth hour.
Oh, Christ.
This is the line. It's like the line
getting,
for the new roller coaster.
It's cold in here. You,
is it really? Or is anybody cold?
I've got a sweater.
Well, Lauren wore a sweater on an 89-degree day.
Yeah, there well, yeah. I have foresight.
She knew the air conditioning was going to be
keeping,
on extra
keeping her,
high.
Keeping her extremities warm for Zach Braff.
Yeah,
exactly. She's
just
waiting.
In case.
Ryan Gosling's shooting a movie in town. That's
yeah.
why he held the door for you the other day.
Yeah, they were shooting at the Masonic Temple.
Yeah. Oh.
So nothing I was carrying a bunch of stuff into the...
But that's just a good story anyway. That probably drives girls crazy. You tell them...
Oh, well, because
Ryan
we've been citing him in the building. He's showed up at a couple of our practices because he's walking through the room and we lose our minds
right.
a little bit. Everybody cries a little. Christina Hendricks.
You can tell who the lesbians
though,
are
fine.
When he walks through.
80%
right?
of the
yeah.
team flips out.
Yeah,
well, no, the lesbians are fans of
they're
Ryan Gosling, too.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Christina Hendricks walks in, and everybody's a little gay for Christina Hendricks.
She's in the movie?
Oh, right. Yeah. Corey. She is.
Corey needs to
fine.
Start hanging out.
Well, her husband's a gork, if you look at him.
I haven't seen him, but she was really pretty in person. But it's always awkward after roller derby because we all smell like hockey players. So I'm walking
sure.
through this hallway, and she's got this little dog, and he came over and started trying to be my friend. And then I just started talking to the dog about how smelly I was and apologizing, even though Christina Hendricks was just a few short feet away from me.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, they're more successful and more attractive than us, but they're just people.
They're just people. All right, let's review. I'm going to go first with my review, and then I know Lauren's got something and Corey's got something, so let's get into this. I watched a movie on Blu-ray.
Look at his goon. Look at her husband. He's a total goon.
Corey's got that over. I'm not fucking her, but I'm better looking than the guy that is.
He's a goon.
That's what
he's like all forehead and shit. It's
well,
weird. It's disturbing.
He's all forehead. Look over there.
It's like
all right,
head.
Listen. Let me review something. You keep dreaming about.
I think
Christina
I have.
Hendricks
I think I have like a 30% shot at Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
I might be able to make that happen.
You haven't seen a Ben Falcone.
You're overshooting it.
Yeah.
What Rebel Wilson? I could get that.
Rebel
Let's
Wilson's
go.
In your brain. All right. That's it. You and I. Rebel Wilson at the bar, Corey on one end, Joel on the other
We're
end.
We're going to run Bustos.
Let's see who wins.
You might be able to get Amanda Bynes at this point.
Well, that's...
I interviewed Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, you did a long time ago.
A long time
right?
ago. And she was by far. I interviewed a Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
And Carmen Electra was like a Mensa student. Amanda Bynes was far away.
Was she like 17 when you interviewed her or something, though,
she
probably?
She was about 20.
Was she?
This
yeah.
was 8 years ago.
Okay.
She was about as vacuous a human being as you could ever imagine. She was the dullest interview. It was like pulling teeth to get anything out of her. The thoughts in her head had room to grow. And
it was like
bison. They were like, you know, on a field in Montana, just, you know, just wandering around. They could bump into each other like once every 6 weeks. You could just wander her head in empty space. Dunce.
All right. I'm going to go first. I watched a movie on Blu-ray. This came out at the end of last year. I know Corey saw it, but I don't think we ever talked about this on the show. And I don't think this major top 10 did it, but I saw this movie, The Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about it when we did our year in review because you didn't see it or you didn't place it in the top 10.
Right.
But I saw it, and I got to say, what a great movie. Although, I want to tell you, do you know what The Impossible is about, Lauren? Are you familiar with this movie?
No.
It's about a family. They go on vacation to Thailand on the beach at Christmas, and it's a true story, and the tsunami hits.
Okay.
You know the tsunami, the 2000...
Oh, yes, I vaguely remember seeing
the commercials.
Was the 2008
tsunami, whatever that was?
It's Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, Naomi Watts. And, the kid you never heard of. They had three sons. This movie, I swear to God, this movie, most people will probably cry through the whole fucking movie. It's maybe the saddest movie ever made. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreakingly sad. In fact, I don't want people to watch this if they think they can't watch something. Like my ex-girlfriend, she couldn't watch this movie. She'd have to turn it off if it was that sad. And I'll tell you, it's sad too in the way it's directed. The guy really is a good director. It's a Spanish guy. I forget his name. He only made some horror movie before this. Mm-hmm. It's like his second movie because it's a Spanish production, even though it's in English and everything. You wouldn't know it's Spanish by looking at it. But this is the saddest
Juan
fucking...
Antonio Baora.
Yeah, I think he goes by J.A. Baora is how he's billed on the credits. But this movie's great. You got to look out for this director because it feels Spielberg-esque. It has that thing to it. It's really good.
The effects are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really is pretty impressive. I didn't care for it as much as you.
Yeah.
Narratively, it's amazing. Sure. The first, they're the first 20 minutes they're goofing around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see them just on vacation.
They're farting around on their vacation.
Right.
And
but that's sad, too. You know why? Because you know the tsunami's hitting. They don't. And you're watching them run around on the beach, and you're like, fuck, the tsunami's coming.
Right,
the fucking,
right.
Fucking shit,
and
the
when
fucking
the tsunami when the tsunami hits, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts is, like, just covered in dirt and filth, and she, like, breaks her leg.
She's
and
bleeding
she's
from all over
gash
her body.
Out of her leg
it's
and,
terrible.
And they get separated. It's incredible looking. It's amazing, the special effects. I kind of felt it was like, gee, look how sad the tsunami was.
You thought it was like trauma porn or something?
The tsunami was for white people.
Yeah, I've heard that criticism
look
of the
at
movie,
these pretty,
too. I read some
You know,
reviews,
the tsunami
but,
affected pretty white people, too.
Well,
see, and that was, there was an element of that.
There's an element of that, but
there
it
was kind of a paternal.
It is a
element.
True story of the woman that went through this.
Yeah, but the family was like Latino.
No, they were from Spain.
Oh, Spanish.
Because the woman is on the commentary that was on the Blu-ray.
They don't look anything like
They don't look anything like it, but still, it was a real story of real people, so you can't knock it. It is still a story.
Yeah, so I'm just it's good, but I wasn't...
Yeah, I really...
didn't make my top 10.
I thought it was an amazing movie. I do think there's too much grief for some people to take.
Yeah.
But if you want to see something amazing... and you know, go see the Impossible.
And then,
it's
and
really
then it's
good.
A lot of them like just missing each other.
Yeah, there's that. That's what
around.
Makes it sad because the kids get separated from the dad.
The cell phones
mom
don't
and
work
this.
And stuff.
Oh, it's just it breaks your heart. And then there's just they're in a hospital and you just see these other families and people are dying and people are getting reunited and just the whole thing. You can just cry for the whole fucking thing.
Well, there
if
you go.
You want to cry, Lauren? You might want a good cry when I get the Impossible.
There are so many good cry movies.
Yeah,
out
you could.
There.
No, this you, movie. Forget about Terms of Endearment. Can't hold a fucking candle.
Oh
this
no,
is
I cried fucking, the most that World Trade Center movie.
World Trade Center was sad, but this one's The Impossible is probably more heavier.
Lauren
than that.
Gets a good cry by going to open mics.
I do.
And watching some of these guys go up and.
She goes to the gas station and has guys yell at her, and then she cries about
and
that.
And I cry about that.
And the other movie, like you remember this movie, The Lovely Bones, that came out a few years ago.
Yes,
I read the book. I didn't. See
my
the
girlfriend
movie.
At the time, we went. It was Valentine's Day.
That's not a Valentine's Day movie.
Well, that's the thing. She cried.
Did you not know what that movie was about?
She had read the book and she wanted to go. She cried during the whole fucking movie and the whole ride home. It was the worst Valentine's Day ever. She fucking bawled her eyes out during the whole movie.
I think the last movie I cried at was like Toy Story 3.
Yeah. The Impossible is like a fucking... It's like a nuclear bomb compared to that.
Toy Story 3 really pushes you to the edge.
It does. I saw that with a dude I was dating at the time. Pretty sure he cried, too.
Nothing. Yeah, Toy Story 3 did try to make you cry. That's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have cried at Toy Story 3. At the very end.
Oh, yeah.
They was a little exploitive in that way. The Impossible is like...
I did not cry at The Impossible.
You didn't cry at The Impossible? No. You fucking...
Well, that's because you don't have a soul, Corey. Yeah,
I also watch movies for a living, so crying is a kind of a...
Crying means they're doing it right.
I have cried at films.
What have you cried at? Tell me movies. I got other movies I've cried at.
I want to know how to make you cry, Corey.
What made you cry? Tell me.
Oh, man. You know what you want to make me cry? Show me a film strip of middle school.
Give me a real movie.
Find a
Come
video
on.
Of me in
Anything?
Middle
Life is Beautiful. That made me cry.
There's been some stuff, but it's hard for me to think.
You know what made me cry? And this is kind of
Magnolia.
Okay.
Like
when the dad dies in Magnolia. Tom Cruise, that was sad.
There's some powerful films that affect me.
Here's a movie that made me cry, which is kind of silly because it's like anime, but The Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, that's a...
That'll make you cry.
That's a depressing movie. Yeah.
That's about...
It's like kids who are survived
Hiroshima.
Hiroshima. Mm.
That's really sad. Hopefully.
Yeah, there's some bump. There's some The 400 Blows. That's a really
The 400
sad
Blows.
Movie.
Yeah,
it's a great movie, but it's it's tough. There are it'll happen. I cried at Big Mama's House too.
See, I knew you were going to say Ernest. I knew you were going that way.
And
I knew Larry the Cable Guy's movie.
Oh God,
come on!
Let me tell you.
That makes you cry for a different reason.
All right. Speaking of movies, give us your Hangover 3 review, Corey.
Speaking of movies, let me cry. Hangover 3 is one of the worst films of 2013.
Yes.
It is dire.
I haven't seen it.
It is awful. It's unfunny. It lays there kind of like Lauren Yuhalik, if she took one of these open micers home, just lays there and... just suffers through it. I don't think that was a comment.
I think that came out wrong. I'm going to apologize for Corey. Because you're not the one that lays there.
What?
She's not, would be.
I'm kidding.
Okay,
it's
just
a joke.
Continue Hangover.
It's a joke, Lauren.
It's as good as the comedy in Hangover 3, let me tell you.
She's a passionate, fiery woman who gives Zach Braff a discount on his latte. What I'm saying.
I don't give that bitch a discount. Oh, he's made of money.
Yeah. You're right, that's true.
Make it rain.
Yeah, why do we give rich people free stuff?
Yeah, we give rich guys.
That's the shit about free. They're like.
Comp everybody.
They get rich, and then people can't wait to. You want an iPad? Here you go, Mr. Gosling. Anyway.
So Hangover 3, you hated it.
Here's the problem. It's a contractual obligation. We did a show once where we talked about records that people made out of a contractual obligation where they just Van Morrison did a thing where he just started singing about, eggs and hash browns are good. And this is what this is. They knew that they weren't going to do another one. They knew that they had a contract that they had to make it. And you can see Bradley Cooper looking at his watch during this. It's like, guys, I got an Oscar nomination. Why am I here? What am I doing?
You can see the guy stuffing the check in their jacket pocket.
Oh, you can absolutely hear. I said in my review, if you listen carefully, you can hear them cashing their checks. It's awful, unfunny, and they gave Ken Jeong a big part.
Yeah, you're not a Ken Jeong fan.
I would go beyond saying I'm not a Ken Jeong fan. I am a Ken Jeong opponent.
Really?
You're a hater of Ken Jeong.
If I was a barista and Ken Jeong came in, I'd throw a hot Americano on him. I would literally...
Why do you have so much hate for him?
Because the guy is not funny.
Okay.
He's
the Chow character in the Hangover movies is very annoying.
He's not funny on Community.
And when you saw him, like in the first Hangover, the problem with the first Hangover, and I haven't seen this three, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the first Hangover is one of the great comedies ever made. Here's the problem, though. If you try to watch it now, the Ken, you know who Ken Jeong is, and so it's not surprising when he pops out of the trunk of the car and all that stuff. You kind of know he's going to be this comedy figure. Same thing with Rob Riggle in that movie. Rob Riggle, no one knew who Rob Riggle was when that first movie came out. And now you see Rob Riggle, and people are laughing already, but he looks like a badass cop for a minute. And then you realize he's funny in the first Hangover.
The first Hangover was funny because of the situations.
Exactly.
And the structure in the movie.
Yes, I agree.
The kind of, they wake up and they find out.
Yeah, and it becomes
incrementally
sort of a detective
all the things
story.
They did.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they got famous off that movie. Then those guys all went out and had big careers.
Sure.
And now they're trying to convince you that you thought it was funny because of their personalities.
Sure, yeah.
It's not.
It was truly situational comedy. It was the situation that was in was funny more than...
The situation is funnier.
Yeah.
The from Jersey Shore is funnier than the movie. Where are the Asian American Defamation Organization?
Ken Jeong.
Oh, you like mean white man? He does this voice all time and they just talk. Oh, sucky fucky Lauren, you whole cat take you. You like my big winky? Like, he does this fucking act the whole time.
I only saw the first one. I didn't even see two. I really liked one.
Two is the same thing as one.
I like the first one as well. But
two is
like,
the same thing as one. And it's just not as good. So anyway,
I like the first one too. Yeah. The second one, they just redid the same movie.
Right.
This one, the plot's a little different, but also guys are getting shot in it. Like, literally, guys are getting blown away, and that kind of kills the comedy.
Yeah, if it's too violent, it's not funny anymore.
So, what a disaster. And it tanked the box office.
Yeah, it didn't do as well as they wanted it to.
It's a turd. All right.
Skip Hangover 3. Now, Lauren saw, and I know Corey, I was razzing Corey about this, because he's a big Arrested Development fan.
Yes.
But Lauren watched all of the episodes on Netflix of the new season.
Yes.
So, what are your... I've never watched the show ever, so
I have no thoughts. I mean, everybody's been building up these first three seasons. Arrested Development fans love the first three seasons.
Yes.
Rewatching them, I mean, everyone's really hoping this fourth season was going to be as good. And I thought it was funny, but I didn't think it was at the same level as the rest of it.
It didn't feel
as absurdist.
Yeah.
It was very Ron Howard heavy. Like, Ron Howard comes in as a character this season.
Really?
Like, he's Ron Howard as Ron Howard.
Ron Howard was the narrator of the
original.
And
he directed all of it.
Right.
But
you never saw him on camera.
Right, but he narrated it.
What is his relationship to the character?
It's Ron Howard as Ron Howard. He's a director that they're trying to get to direct the movie about the family, the Bluth family that the show is centered around. And, I mean, there were still great funny moments. I mean... David Cross is hilarious. His character is always just a really funny, great character. It's amazing how similar almost everybody looks. I mean, Michael Cera just doesn't age for the most part.
Well, he might have a problem. he might be lacking a gonad or something.
I think that it's still funny. And it felt like the season, I wish the season even had covered more, because it felt very short, where even though there are only about 14 episodes, I believe, and it was funny. I wish there was more of it, but I wish that it had more time to build, because it was, even though it was taking all this character structure that had been built before, it was kind of a rebuilding of, it's been 7 years since you last saw these characters, what's been happening
in these last five years. That was very intricately built on itself, so that they were constantly making all the little quirks about the family and the different things. They would build, you know, Tobias being a never nude and things that would come back up. And so it's a show that rewarded you watching it.
Sure.
Okay. Right.
Every episode you watched it, they layered in more stuff that referenced something else. It was very complicated plot lines. So in this new one, they split the stories up. Is that how they did it?
It almost was like it all took place during the primary plot was during the course of a day, but then there were all these secondary plots of how each character got to that point in their day.
Right.
And it also had to recap the last 5 years they're not saying this is picking up immediately where everything left off in the last season.
Yeah, that can be a problem because...
So now they're having to recap 5 years.
Because everyone's older, they have to acknowledge
passage of time. So that's every individual. When they were kind of breaking up the storylines, it was like, well, this is what Michael Cera's character, George Michael, has been doing the past 5 years. And this is what's... why he's where he is now.
Supposedly because everybody's got careers now, they had trouble getting all the actors together.
Yeah.
So they had to sort of shoot them in group.
Oh, like, is that why they did that?
They'd take two characters and shoot a thing with them. So they, it was hard to get everybody. You know, whereas in the series, they would all you know, be
right, because
the
they're all, yeah, okay.
And in this, they kind of couple here and there. Michael Cera and Justin Bateman might do one thing. And
And I mean, I still thought it was funny. I didn't feel like it totally lived up to my expectations.
No.
It was funny, but it was maybe 70% as funny as it could have been that, to me.
That might have been a thing that just could not live up to the hype because the show has just become so beloved.
It's just
and cult
so great. And I mean, I mean, there's seasons. I mean, and they had a lot of great guest stars in these 14 episodes. I mean, it's there were characters thrown in there, like they do flashbacks at the beginning of the first episode where the mom, when she, like, the flashback is Kristen Wiig is the mom, Lucille, while
like
she was younger.
Years ago, yeah.
And then Seth Rogen is the dad when he's younger. And that's the first shot you see. And, I mean, it's a cool amount of other celebrity cameos in different positions.
Right.
But it's, and that's what that show's always been known for. I mean, there was a great story arc with Charlize Theron in the last season of the show that was one of the funniest things that I've seen,
England, yeah.
Yeah.
We Britain. It's a great I'll go check it out.
You're going to check it out.
Because I also heard that there's a Mystery Science Theater bit in there, and they actually got the guys to come do new
there's
stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff.
So I got to watch that.
All right, so Corey's going to watch.
As a Misty nerd on top of being an Arrested Development
nerd. Oh, my goodness.
I got to watch
what
that.
What will you do? Well, I'm late to the party. I'm out on this, so I'm sorry.
Well, you got
to
watch all first three seasons, and then you got to watch the fourth season.
I ain't watching those. I'm done. I can't. It's too late.
I'm still
watching Leave
It to
Beavers.
You're not dead.
No, I just don't have time. I have five Game of Thrones. To watch from the
last.
I'm not saying it's good. Look, I'm not saying anybody's thing is good or bad, but you can't. You know, like I had a roommate.
You know what you got to watch? Behind the Candelabra.
Well, that's another thing I need to watch.
Lauren, you didn't see that too.
People dump this stuff on
you. No, I didn't. I don't have HBO.
I want to see that. The Liberace movie. I want to see it.
Oh, my God.
But people dump... Like, I had a roommate who said, you need to see every... What was the name of the show? Oh, fuck. No, I've lost it.
Well, Downton Abbey?
No. What was the H...
The Wire?
Weeds.
No. Stop. I got... Hold on. It's Entourage.
Oh.
She goes, you need to see Entourage, and you need to see all the episodes of Entourage... And I have them all, and I will give them to you if you want to start watching them. And I go, well, I've never really wanted to watch Entourage. I don't really dream of watching, like, five full seasons of a series. That kind of sounds like work to me. And I'm going to graciously pass on that.
I get that, like, it's hard to get back into something after it's gone.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Entourage...
Well, I was never into Arrested Development, and I was never into Entourage, but I'm not, like, you know...
Entourage... You could watch about two of those and get the whole thing.
Go, yeah, I kind of saw that's why I never watched
these guys are going to go try and pick up chicks, and they got money. And they,
well, I think there's, you know, I mean, I think there are things that people genuinely miss, and I might like Arrested Development if I went back and watched it because that was sort of around. You have to remember that was around sort of before the DVR, and so the original run of that. So it's like there was a reason I didn't see it, you know. So
I don't know if Arrested Development will particularly jive with your sensibilities, knowing the kind of stuff you like.
Yeah, you don't know what I like.
I do.
We figured that out over the years.
I know what you like.
You say you know what I like, and then I tell you I cried during The Impossible, and then that surprises you.
That's because you're getting old and you're full of estrogen. Now,
it's all right. Well, you know,
Lawrence, I wish I had a picture.
When I watch a movie,
Lauren made a face.
Sometimes when I watch a movie, I run my hand through my hair, my full luscious head of fucking hair that I have. Sometimes I like to do that. You ever do that, Corey? Oh no, why? Because you don't have any. Okay, that's why.
Oh, I'm bald. Well, there's a revelation.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Shit, you got me with that.
Well,
one.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to need to sleep in separate beds tonight?
I'm just saying. I might like Arrested Development.
All right. Well. Arrested Development, I think, is something you can actually... It is. There are only three seasons.
Sure.
And
they're all on Netflix, too. The whole...
The DVDs have been out for a long time. The Netflix. So they're pretty digestible.
Sure.
And the seasons weren't...
The seasons weren't super long, and they were just half-hour episodes.
They might
be 22 minutes episode.
So that's a show you might get into be able to...
But I can't just sit down and watch this new Netflix season. I got to watch the other ones, though, right? Would you agree, Lauren?
Well, they actually do clips of the, because I think they assume that people
aren't
going to rewatch it, but they show a lot of clips of these prior seasons, like when they're making reference to something, in case you forgot, this is a thing that happened.
Okay, well.
I had somebody say to me recently, a girl said, well, I want to get into Doctor Who. Where should I? Should I just start?
Get in the time machine.
And I'm like, and you could go. They restarted Doctor Who in
they rebooted it. So
in 2006, they rebooted it.
Sure. One of them is in this movie with Ryan Gosling. Fun fact, Doctor Who is in this movie.
Oh, what, David Tennant?
Boy, I don't know what his name is.
Okay, I think it is that guy,
the 10th Doctor.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, you could... The reasonable place to start with Doctor Who, if you hadn't ever seen it, is the 2006 reboot.
Sure.
And just jump on board there.
If you want to get the Batman, you can watch the first Chris Nolan movie.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. This girl goes... Oh, no, I want to watch the old stuff. And I went, there's 50 years of it.
Hey, there's been Doctor Who.
There's 50 years of Doctor Who. There's, you couldn't possibly...
I want to get into Superman. I'm going to start with number one.
Right.
And just start reading.
Why don't you just schedule July through November, and you can watch all the Doctor Who.
That's true.
It's just too much of it.
I wish I had that kind of time to watch anything.
Yeah, it's just like, I want to get back to the old stuff.
I spent like... half my relationship with my last boyfriend watching all of the X-Files again.
Oh, wow.
I don't envy
that. Actually, we watched specifically these episodes about aliens because we're adults.
Is that what
we have very specific conspiracy theories now. It's not all ghosts. It's the government is aliens.
You should get on with John Tenney and talk to him about
it. He just talks a bunch of shit.
About conspiracy theories.
He doesn't believe. He talks about everything. He doesn't believe in any of it.
Hey,
that's what Tenney's problem is.
Hold on.
Tenney doesn't believe
John Tenney is such
garbage.
An incredible paranormal expert.
He is a
that
great.
He got a booth next to Greg the Hammer Valentine at the Comic Con.
Wow.
is that like the Ace booth placement or I don't know anything about Comic Con booth placement.
It was not the Ace. I'll tell you what. On one side of us, Greg the Hammer Valentine. On the other, one of the midgets from The Great and Powerful Oz.
Well, there you go.
Well, I think that's a pretty good booth placement. What are the other options?
And I wanted her to wrestle with Greg the Hammer Valentine to show her superior midget strength. But,
let's save this Comic-Con for when next time we have Tenney.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Because, we're going to have Tenney tonight, but he couldn't make it. So
I will say, on the they just had like a curtain between the rows of freaks and celebrities. Parker Stevenson was on the other side of us from the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, I saw Tenney's picture with
him. And Kirstie Alley's ex-husband.
That sounds ridiculous.
I know. And Parker Stevenson would kind of pop his head through and go, hey, what's going on, guys? And
right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Tenney had it up like, hey, I'm the real investigator, and here's the fake. Here's the phony investigator. Right. And it's like, give me a fuck. Right. You guys are both phonies.
And on the other side, and then like the next table,
Kirstie Alley.
The next table next to Parker Stevenson was Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
And did you meet Mickey?
I'd actually met Mickey at another kid.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to. But
so you guys were old friends, is what you're saying?
Well, Mickey was.
You should have told him how bad Mike's show was.
I wanted to.
Yeah, unlike, you should have done that.
Unlike Parker Stevenson.
You pussy.
Unlike Parker Stevenson.
Do it.
Mickey had a line most of the time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, Parker Stevenson was just sitting around.
Yeah, Mickey's still in demand.
Yeah. He had a cup. Parker Stevenson had a cup of coffee and, like, long spells to just sit there and, you know, play Angry Birds, whereas Mickey was actually signing shit. I would have walked up and gone, yeah, Mike's show sucked a dick. And that would have been good. Anyway.
By the way, let me just tell you this, Mickey. All right. Well, thank you. Well, we'll get into the Comic-Con stuff when John's on next, because I do want to hear some of his stories and everything. But that's going to do it for this episode.
Lauren Yeholik, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Something.
Is there a plug?
There is. My website is www.laurenyeholik.com.
Wow.
Last name is Uchalik.
I'm going to have to put a link to that.
You're going to have to spell that several times.
No one's spelling
that. I got a page on Facebook, that same name on Facebook.
Yeah.
Also on the Detroit Derby Girls on their Facebook page, on their website, except on there as Whamtramic.
So, yeah, look for Whamtramic.
All right.
In code.
The season's over, and you'll be back, in September or something?
Yeah, I'll be back doing my pissed off stuff in probably November over the summer. I might be doing some travel team stuff.
Oh,
last year, I traveled to Akron, Ohio for a game.
Oh, my God.
Anywhere they got a rink and some bitches that need an elbow.
I was going to say anywhere near an amusement park. She'll be doing roller derby. She'll make a business.
I absolutely.
She'll make some fun out of the business trip.
I made that business trip into a midnight stop at Cedar Point on my way back from Akron.
Oh, see, I knew it. I knew she could.
I was a single rider
resist.
In the front row on Millennium Force at midnight.
Wow.
My sister, I posted a picture on the internet. My sister asked if I wanted to sit in the bathrooms alone at lunch.
But wait a minute. When you go, you're saying you didn't. You just went by yourself on.
I drove back from. I drove to this game by myself because, and I drove back because I didn't want to stay in Ohio. I just drove home and I'd stopped at Cedar Point. I just made a little pit stop. It was midnight. Oh, wow. I was like, I could get on a ride.
Well, that's hardcore.
Well, look, I've got a platinum pass.
You are. You are a hardcore. You've proved it to me.
You have absolutely.
You have proved it to me.
And listening to this entire marathon show. Today's code word is eggplant parmesan.
Eggplant parmesan.
So, text that to us.
Or call 610.
610-552-0746. We do these shows. They're so long now that I give people a code word, and if they listen to the whole show.
Do they get one of those Hershey's nuggets?
Maybe we'll put a prize package together.
What would that be?
I don't know.
Can they go to Cedar Point and ride the Millennium Force in New Holland?
Yeah.
I'll give them a roller derby sticker.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's good.
I got a house full of those.
We should, you know what?
If we had every guest donate a prize, like Tenny could donate one of his dumb books.
We'll do.
And Lauren could donate something. Uh-huh. And yeah, everyone
Lauren
could
will get a coffee cup that Zach Braff touched. And
I didn't keep any of that.
She'll get one of Ryan Gosling's pubic hairs when she takes him home from the Masonic Temple.
I'm going to keep it classy.
Yeah.
Eva Mendez stands watch on that man.
But she got him on lockdown.
Unbelievable.
She would have to stand with like a shotgun, like a hillbilly father, just watching him like, I'm watching you, bitch.
Well, he's...
He's a handsome man.
Who knows?
All right.
He could be tortured, too.
Thank you, Lauren, for coming in. And
Thank you guys for having me. Finally being here.
Wonderful show.
Very much. All right. Well, let's get out of here. I just want to let everybody know you can get the show on Stitcher if you have your smartphone. Mm-hmm. You should be doing that. That's a good way to get the show. Got lots of new fans on Stitcher. Thank you for listening. Of course, you can get us on iTunes. Review us there. Go to joelradio.net. We always have links up there. We'll have a link to all Lauren's stuff. And everything else.
June 15th, I'll be at Laugh Tracks in Novi doing Laugh Out Lupus benefit.
Yeah. Good luck.
I'm headlining that, so come
good
on.
Good luck. I hope Lupus is gone. I hope your comedy kills Lupus.
We're going to put a real dent
in it. I hope your jokes kill Lupus.
Oh, I will.
And I think I'm going to be doing a comedy contest at Omaro's on June
13th. Oh, right.
Classy.
Yeah.
Except this year's comedy contest is... to help benefit some charities against ovarian cancer.
Wow,
so,
well, that's good.
Oh, we'll
you
see.
Know, any little thing
that.
To...
Anything you can do.
To defeat any disease.
All right.
That's right. Dick jokes versus viruses and diseases, folks. That's what it's all about.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Good night.